we're fascinated with, and there are new stories every day about, is people who get stuff stuck up their ass.
They are fascinated with their back end.
And by the way, we deserve a little bit of credit for how rarely we actually bring this topic on the air, because it's a topic off the air at least once a week. Yeah. It's just it's unbelievable how often this happens. And Kevin, you had a new one that you saw just this week, right?
Yeah, it was a light bulb. Somebody had a light bulb stuck up their ass, and they had to go into the hospital and get it removed because they couldn't get it back out.
Kind of one of the worst ideas.
The topic that we're going to ask your phone calls on is not what you put there. It's what you couldn't get back out. That's the funny part. And we should probably start with this.
I do want to warn you that some of the language in this story is strong, and it may offend you. It may offend some other people. We have decided to leave it in the story for you to decide.
That's right.
Ben in Buena Park, what say you?
Hey, how's it going, Kevin and Bean? Nice to
meet you. Hi.
What happened?
Oh, well, my friends hooked me up with this girl, and which is now my wife, and about 2 months into it, you know, she starts saying that she wants to experiment, and, you know, I'm down, so she brought out two kiwis.
Two kiwis?
People from New Zealand?
No. So kiwis are what? They're a little bit smaller than apples?
Yeah. They're, you know, probably about the size of half dollar, something like
that. Okay, so even smaller. Okay, go ahead.
And so, you know, she says, well, stick them up there. And I was like, okay, you know, we were having some fun, a little bit drunk. And so I shoved the first one up, and she said she liked it. And I was like, cool. And she said, shove the second one up. I'm like, okay, perfect, you know. And so I did it. And about 10 minutes later, she, you know, comes out of the bathroom. She says, they're not coming out.
Oh. Do you have to go to the hospital and explain it to them?
Oh, yeah. Well, we went to the hospital, and you know, the guy there, the doctor's, like, sitting there cracking up outside the room talking to his nurse.
Of course.
Oh, no.
Of course.
So they take this, like, camera thing and stick it up, you know, and they ended up cutting the kiwis out. And the minute they cut the kiwis, the acid from the kiwis goes up inside, you know. And
okay, I think I've heard enough.
Yeah.
She started screaming. Okay, I get it.
Oh, Ben.
That's a bad story. And then they still married each other.
And the kiwis still tasted good.
I'm a man. A man like any other with dreams and emotions. And that's why I'll never put a foreign object up my ass.
Harold and Azusa, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Lisa May.
Hi, Harold.
Now, you're different. You got a little bit of a different story. You work in radiology.
Yeah, I work at a radiology at a hospital in the San Gabriel Valley, and I've seen numerous things, but I think the best one was the patient who told me he was eating tacos in the shower and slipped and fell on the hot sauce bottle.
Because we all know how often we take a Mexican feast into the shower.
Oh my God.
Did you laugh in his face, Harold?
I had to hold it back. I mean, people come up with excuses all the time. No one just...
But how do you not eating tacos in the shower and fell on? Oh, for God's sake.
He didn't That's want
fantastic.
To get dirty.
That is
Get
fantastic.
It all over his clothes.
Thank you.
But let's try Kelly in Santa Monica. Hi, Kelly. We're talking about things shoved up your ass. What do you got for us?
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Kelly.
What happened?
Well, my dad's a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So back in the day, well, he's an OBGYN. So he was working at the hospital one night, and they called him. The ER called up to his unit, and
right.
they said, we need forceps. And my dad's like, what the hell do you need forceps down in the ER for, you know? So they were like, well, we have this guy that came in, and he put a baby watermelon up his butt.
That's, even a baby watermelon's really big, isn't it?
Was he eating the baby watermelon in the shower and then slipped and fell on it?
Yeah. Yeah, they all seemed to fall on it.
Oh, my God, a baby watermelon.
Dad, yeah. So when he found out, he's like, you are not using my forceps for that. And the guy's like, well, we don't know what to do. And he's like, well, just... cut it up and pull it out.
Oh, my God. If I were a doctor, see, that's why it's good I'm not a doctor. I would have rushed down to ER to do it myself.
Absolutely.
I mean,
you don't miss that.
Are you kidding? That's awesome. I'll be right there.
I think I'll probably put it in my ass.
Sal in Long Beach. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thanks.
Well, I'm a paramedic, and we rushed to one call that came in as a rectal bleed. When we get there, my captain, the police department, they're all outside laughing.
Right.
And I rush in with my partner. The first thing I see is there's this guy bent over in front of a door. I guess him and his lover were using the doorknob.
Wait a minute. The doorknob was still attached to the door?
That is correct.
So he was hanging on the doorknob by his ass?
He was. Well, his feet were still tight. There's a pretty tall guy. The guy was still, you know, he was just bent over. kind of on his tippy toes. My partner is laughing. I'm trying to get him to calm down because I'm starting to crack up at this time, and the guy's just really pissed off, real livid, and his boyfriend's just starting to scream. The guys are telling me, I'm not going. And, we told him, hey, you got to go, man, because I'm not a doctor. He has to have it surgically removed. So they cut a section of the door off, and we transport him like that on his stomach to the hospital with a torn up.
Wow, that's awesome.
No.
Did anyone at any point say to him,
no wonder your behind is bleeding?
Thank you for the call.
I'm saying to you, my paramedic friend, and I'm saying to everybody else who encounters this in the future, there's something called YouTube now. There's no excuse for there not being video evidence of every single one of these stories.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We got an all-new week. It is 4th of July week.
And an all-new week means all-new showbiz news. Here's Ralph Garman.
Yes, it's 4th of July week. Kevin couldn't have put that any better. Hey, boys and girls. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7. It is 5:55 in the a.m. Kevin and Bean are on vacation again this week. So you're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean. We'll get back to that in a few moments. But once again, I'm live here in the studio along with Psycho Mike to bring you the showbiz beat, the latest and greatest in showbiz news, just to keep you up to date on what's going on in the world of celebrities. Because let's face it, if we don't know exactly what all our celebrities are doing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week,
nothing else matters.
You get a cramp.
Really?
It's a fact. How was your weekend, Psycho Mike?
Anything
interesting?
Sweet and sour. Yeah, I would.
Sweet and sour.
The Dodger game Friday night, which sucked
that
ass.
That was the sour part, I guess.
And, it was a good time. And Saturday, I did something. Oh, yeah. Saturday, we had the All-Star game for the Little League girls softball.
Oh, how'd that go?
40-0.
Your team?
Yeah.
40-0.
That's not, like, exaggeration. Like, hyperbole, like... It was 38-0.
Wow.
And
at what point do you throw the white flag of surrender if you're the other team?
There's a certain amount of minimum innings you have to play before a slaughter rule can be taken into effect. And I was kind of upset because I was talking to some of the other, like the head coaches and stuff. And I was like, after about 18-0, we really should have stopped stealing and putting signs up or anything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you gotta at some point just
start playing t-ball at that point.
Maybe hitting the ball, putting it into play. I understand you can't tell a kid not to swing, but
stealing and still throwing signs at 18-0.
Yeah, on pass balls and stuff, the girls were stealing and stuff.
But come on,
the catcher of this team couldn't even catch, so every ball is a pass ball. And you know what I'm saying? It was kind of like, it was sad.
You guys are like the evil team that plays the Bad News Bears.
I know.
You're like those jackholes.
I know. Greg Kinnear.
Yeah, you're Greg Kinnear pushing his kid to the ground.
I know.
You're a douche.
I am.
You and your coaches are all douches. Did you pick up an iPhone this weekend? Did you grab one of those?
No. But
see all the news footage of all the Apple geeks lining up and just, woo, raising their hands over their heads like they won the Super Bowl and they walked out with one after paying $600.
Mr. Technology, Dave the King of Mexico, though, was just telling me that for the most part, the majority of people that got one seem to be happy with it. I mean.
Yeah, apparently it's a good device, but. Day of,
yeah,
it's not concert tickets.
Well, I know Lightning got one, so we can always just talk to him.
Did he get one?
Get an update? That's what Dave told me. Yeah, Dave said that Lightning and Bean are owners of new.
Of course, Bean.
Lightning surprised me. He hates all things Apple, from what I recall, and now he has an iPhone.
Well, it's trendy, it's hip. Everybody's doing it, so Lightning's got to get on the.
If I get one, people look at me.
Exactly, he's got to get on that wave. Bean is just a nerd, so that's why he got his.
Yes.
All right, enough of our yapping. Let's take a look at the showbiz news, shall we? Big, big box office weekend. Ratatouille, just kicking some rat ass out there in the box office, made over $47 million in its debut, making it number one at the box office by far. Number two, Live Free or Die Hard. The new Bruce Willis thriller made $33 million this weekend. That's not to... mention the money it made when it opened on Wednesday and Thursday, so it's probably another 15 mil right there. Evan Almighty, third at the box office with $15 million. 1408, the new John Cusack movie based on the Stephen King story, made $10.6 million, good enough to make it number four. Speaking of four, the Fantastic Four came in at number five. Knocked Up, six. Ocean's 13, number seven. Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End was number eight. Sicko. In its first week of wide release, that's the Michael Moore documentary, made $4.5 million, keeping it at number nine. And then Evening, that chick flick in its debut, was number 10 at the box office this weekend. Britney Spears going at it with her mother in front of everybody. Maybe you've seen the video. This week, apparently, she served her mother a restraining order to keep her away from her grandchildren. There are photos and video of Britney on the set of her sister Jamie Lynn Spears' TV show Zoe 101. And she walks up to Mom and hands her this document, and then they have a heated conversation, and Britney walks away.
Jeez, what a bitch.
Mom's denying it's court papers, but every other source apparently claims that it is. The source of all this seems to be that Lynn, Britney's mom, and her ex-husband Kevin Federline both threatened to take Britney's kids away from her if she didn't get to rehab. And this apparently is her angry response. So that family's just spectacular.
Pathetic.
Here's a story that'll give you a kick in the nads. Wake you right up this morning.
Okay.
Chris Angel.
Oh, God. Okay. Here we go.
Nerd magician.
Yeah.
Has been famously now dating Cameron Diaz.
Yeah.
He comes out after one of his tricks. He goes, "This is for my lady love, Cameron Diaz. I do it all for you, magic baby." Whatever the hell he said. After he came out of some box or something, some BS magic trick. Anyways, imagine everyone's surprise this week when Chris Angel's wife filed for divorce in Long Island on Thursday.
Oh, no.
Nobody knew he was married. Apparently, he was keeping it a secret so that he'd be more attractive on his TV show, he claimed. Dude was married.
Awesome.
What a weasel. Anyway, his wife, Joanne Sarantakos, filed for divorce on Thursday, and I guess she's not too pleased about him dating Cameron Diaz and throwing out mad love to her every time he sees the TV camera.
For my next trick, I'm going to make my wife disappear.
That's right. And then I'm going to cut my holdings in half.
Watch me
cut my savings account in half, and then half of it will disappear. Because I'm Chris Angel, mind freak.
Douche freak.
He is ripped, though.
He's skinny. He's not ripped.
That's pretty ripped.
He's emaciated.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
He's like heroin ripped.
He's not big, but that's pretty ripped.
So Scott Weiland, but it's not from pumping all day long. So it's Iggy Pop. He's ripped, too, but I don't think it's from mad exercise. It's just from not eating so much. Oh, dear Lord. Hey, you ready for some rumors?
Do it.
Lindsay Lohan's going to play Paris Hilton in a movie based on her life. That apparently surfaced this weekend. And, of course, the rumor's still circulating. Nicole Richie's still pregnant. No one has been able to confirm or deny this news, so the New York Daily News went to Lionel Richie, Nicole's dad, figuring, well, there's a guy who would know. They asked whether he'd be babysitting anytime soon about Nicole's pregnancy, and he said, maybe, I don't know. So, dad doesn't know one way or the other.
Tight bond in that family.
Yeah, apparently.
Is she pregnant, or is she just like a Somalian who has gone so far overboard with skinny that she now has like the starving fupa?
Swollen. Yeah. Starving fupa, by the way, playing this year's weenie roast.
They're good.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Larry David. Curb Your Enthusiasm. Seinfeld. Guy's a genius. 60 years old today. Can't wait for that new season of Curb coming on HBO soon. Dave Parsons, bassist for Bush, is 42 years old today. Singer Michelle Branch turns 24. Ashley Teasdale from High School Musical. She's 22 years old today. And guess who celebrates her birthday today?
I don't know who.
Lindsay Lohan.
Really?
Celebrates her 21st birthday today. Finally, the girl can have a drink. I bet she's been aching just to have a sip of champagne or something for her whole childhood.
Just
now, finally, she can have a cocktail. Oh, wait, she's in rehab.
Yeah.
Imagine celebrating your 21st birthday in rehab. Maybe you did. I don't know.
I didn't. I was. I did the rehab before I was legal thing, but I didn't actually celebrate my birthday in rehab.
Yeah.
That would be weak.
That's got to be depressing on so many levels.
It's so much different, yeah.
Yeah. Well, happy birthday, Lindsay.
Good for you.
Brandon Davis, you want to wish any birthday shout out to Lindsay Lohan?
Lindsay Lohan?
Nice start.
When you get your birthday cake, do not light your candles with a lighter. Light it with your fire crotch.
Thank you, Brandon.
It's disgusting.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And it really sucks to see your idols get old, isn't it? Doesn't it?
Yes, it is, or does.
So the New York Post has an article that says kindergarten kids in the ritzy L.A. suburb of Calabasas have been coming home to their parents and telling them stories about a scary guy coming into the kindergarten class to sing scary songs.
they're letting a scary guy come in?
Yes.
Homeless guy hanging out on campus? What are you talking about here?
The weird one turns out to be Bob Dylan.
Well, that is scary.
Whose grandson, Jacob Dylan from the Wallflowers, his kid, goes to kindergarten there. And apparently Bob shows up with his guitar and all the kids go running from the class.
Oh, no.
Well, how could they not? Look, a lot of adults go running when Bob Dylan starts to sing. Well, we got to find out what this is like from the perspective of the musical legend. Ladies and gentlemen, Bob Dylan back on the Kevin and Bean Show here on the Wood Paper Strong. Hey, Bob.
Hey, good morning, Kennedy. Hey, Dylan.
Right. Well, good morning to you as well, Mr. Dylan. Listen, this... This story in the New York newspaper, is this accurate? You've been hanging out at that kindergarten in Calabasas?
Yeah, Calabasas.
So I think you're saying that the kids are happy to see you and they call you Uncle Bob?
Kids, really. Uncle Bob, Kenyon. Sing a long time happy hour.
That's your satellite show, Bob. Now, did they ask you, was it like bring a grandpa to kindergarten day or what?
I just broke in.
Just came in?
Yeah.
With your guitar?
Uh-huh. Just kind of kicked in the door. Bob Dylan's here, trying to sing.
So, in other words, you're forcing a Bob Dylan concert on five-year-olds.
Yeah, they love it. Oh, can't get enough. Answer my friend, it's learning the game.
Bob, you know that the kids are going home telling their parents about the scary man that was in class today. You know that, right?
Nuh-uh.
Yes, they are.
Nuh-uh. Okay. No, my little grandson loves Bob Dylan singing.
Well, maybe your grandson does, but no one else in the class knows who you are.
I'm busy right now. Come here.
What?
Come here. I'll sing for you. Sing.
You're in their class right now. Bob, I know that you're a musical legend and all, but do you think those kids can understand what you're saying?
Yeah, everyone knows that song.
Yeah, I know, but
they don't know this song. We now go hey.
You're not singing any of the words, Bob. Bob, do you not know the words? Is that what's going on?
You're not singing any words.
Singing the words, right? Look, your weird guitar guy, this is what we're telling you. Listen to us, Bob. We understand that you love your grandson and he loves you, but the rest of the kids call you weird guitar guy, and you probably shouldn't force a concert on them, is what we're saying.
Bang the differ.
You bang the differ? All right, I heard that.
Shut up!
You're scaring me.
Maybe I am scaring him.
Let's call somebody logged in, shall we?
Kevin and I are decided that we're going to call Nepal on this fascinating story that we'll tell you about in a moment. And Ralph bursts in and says, please don't do this. And we say, why? It's fun when we call foreign countries and check up on the news.
It always goes the same way.
How?
Someone will answer the phone.
Well?
You go, yes. Are there naked women in your fields farming? Are there naked women? Click. That'll be the first call. Let's call someone else then. Hello? Yes. Do you have naked women in your fields farming?
But, Ralph, they have naked women in their fields farming.
Oh, I understand. I'm telling you, the communication will not be strong either end.
Here's the story out of Kathmandu, Nepal. Female rice farmers are plowing their fields at night in the nude to please the rain gods during a dry spell in southwestern Nepal.
And they figure that want to know about that?
Oh, I want to know about it. I'm saying you won't get us any information about it. The god of rain appreciates female nudity.
And Kevin will say, no, are there naked women in your field? But maybe you should take this one, Bean. And then Bean will say, hi, we're calling from Los Angeles. We're calling radio station. Do you have radio there in Nepal? And they kept saying,
what's your favorite station?
Are there naked people in your field?
I
we'll get that for about 6.5 minutes and then play song commercials.
You that's understand. No, you forgot the big grand finale. Give me the big grand finale.
Right. Yeah, then there'll be a big music bed underneath
play
there.
Us.
And we'll and applaud right. how weak we were.
Okay.
We will celebrate our lameness.
Let's call Kathmandu. Did you know that Kathmandu is 12 hours and 45 minutes ahead of us?
And about 150 years behind us.
Isn't that odd that they're 12 hours and 45 minutes ahead?
I think I'm going to Kathmandu.
You forgot the comedy tie-in pop song. I forgot that part.
See, we got more going on than you give us credit for. We're prepared for this, Finn. And as Kevin mentioned, he speaks fluent Nepalese or whatever they speak over there.
That's right, Nepalese.
Are there naked women in your fields?
Okay, good sign. Phone is ringing.
Okay. D. La Annapurna Hotel.
Oh, here we go.
D. La Annapurna Hotel.
Ralph, prepare to apologize, my friend, that's because right. you have been wrong before.
We will accept your apology in just a moment as we find out the behind-the-scenes details of women, rice farmers, doing it in the nude.
Phone is ringing.
But you forgot about this one.
I forgot about that.
You forgot about they wouldn't answer.
No answer. I forgot about that part.
It's a hotel.
That's
they're busy.
Too. Yeah.
They're checking in people, and they're ready, getting ready for the night.
Sure.
Come on. Everything's fine.
It's what, like 9 o'clock there?
It's quarter to 9. It's not 9. It's quarter till 9.
Okay.
So odd.
And by the way, Ralph, we have other phone numbers. It's not like we're putting all our eggs in one basket.
I'm sure of it.
Okay. We can call back if this one doesn't work.
Try the Radisson.
We're already on to the second number.
Here we go. Here's the high level of success rate that this bit always has, once again, coming through.
What if the person that answers the phone is very familiar with the fact that women are plowing in the nude and is very fascinated by it and sheds a lot of light on it so that we can all understand a little bit more?
Ever happened once?
No.
like every time we call and ask about the monkeys in India, they go, well, there's no monkeys here.
No, there's no monkeys.
And we don't know what you're talking about.
We got Kevin's great part, too. Do you speak English?
What's wrong with asking that?
Well, the first thing they say, hello? Hello?
Yeah.
You forgot about that.
What was that?
I don't know. Hello?
A rhesus monkey answered the phone.
Is this a robot? You forgot about the busy tone, too.
At what point do I get the apology for having been doubted
about
this segment?
We're a long ways from that.
You are playing on the train tracks, and I see the train coming, and you're two deaf kids
don't
from the home on the hill.
Don't you understand that there are women that are plowing nude?
I do
because
understand.
Because they honestly believe that that's going to make it rain.
I understand
that. Man, this is weak.
All right, hold on. This one's going to work, though. This one's going to work. By the way, there is a backup plan that we haven't gotten to
yet.
Oh,
good. I don't know what that is.
That's where Ralph runs into the other room and pretends to be the Nepalese guy.
No, I'm not participating this time. I'm not contributing to your delinquency.
Hey, Dave, King of Mexico, get ready to be the guy in Nepalese, or Nepal, in a minute.
All right, this is a good, strong phone ring. I think this one's going to help us out. This is going to be good.
You feel good about the phone ring?
I do.
Okay. I'm with Ralph now.
It sounds like it's powerful and impactful.
Like grasping at straws. Oh, good phone ring. Good phone ring.
Come on, you guys. Pick up the goddamn phone.
Did you call these places ahead of time and say don't answer?
I am purely an observer.
Oh, Ralph screwed us.
I have risen above your little fray.
You called them and you said don't participate. It's just going to be a dumb little radio show.
You know what might happen? What might be happening right now is they're not answering the phone because they're out in the fields plowing naked.
See?
See?
Sure, that's what's happening.
En masse, they're all out there as a society plowing.
I think I'm going to Kathmandu. That's really, really where I'm going to.
Plowing the nude.
Done this job
how come
for
we didn't
13
have you sing
years
it? Plow in the
and
nude.
Have no idea that this is always the way it goes.
All right, let's try the first one.
Have you learned from no...
Yeah. Try that one.
You have no sense of experience.
Don't be so negative.
How many numbers are you going
to
try?
You need to be positive, Ralph. You need to think positive vibes.
I did that for the first 5 years. And then year 6, I woke up.
Positive vibes. That's what we thrive on here at the Kevin and Bean Show. This is all going to go really well in just a second.
As far as I'm concerned, Ralph is killing the bit with his negative energy.
See, that's the problem.
That's it.
They're not
bad
answering because of your negative energy going down the phone line.
How about all the other times you've called countries where I wasn't being negative?
Other problems. You were being negative in the other room, maybe. I don't know.
You ought to be able to call Nepal, by the way. What's the deal with this?
Well, why can't we call?
Apparently you can.
Their tourism business must be suffering. The fact that no one picks up the phone there at their hotels.
This is where Mount Everest is in Nepal, right? I mean, they have millions of visitors. It seems like they got to have a phone that works. Come on.
Have you climbed Mount Everest, sir?
Yeah, that's a question that Bean would ask.
That's right.
Are there nude women on Mount Everest?
Can we play this? William Hung.
Time after time.
This is a time staller.
Mm-hmm. I've done my sentence.
We're doing ours.
Committed no crime. And bad mistakes.
Give it up.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm with Ralph now.
Give it up.
Made a few.
All right, one more call.
You are not the champions.
Try one more time.
You are Ralph, not winners.
Ralph, we're going to make one more call, and if this one doesn't answer, if we don't get somebody on the phone, we will apologize to you because you will have proven your point that we never should have attempted.
They think that it's going to cause rain. You understand that.
But I understand the story, Kevin.
Plowing naked.
The ball.
You answer the phone, Nepal.
You don't answer the
phone. That's Dave the King of Mexico answered.
Dave, you don't answer the phone the country that you're in.
I don't know.
Is that a big phone booth in the center of Nepal?
No. When people call you, do you answer the phone, America?
Well, you know, you figure calling somewhere.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. If you just tuned in, we got the exclusive report on plowing naked in Nepal.
He answers the phone in Nepal.
I'm getting out of this business. All
right. I'm right behind you, pal.
I apologize.
I'm
going to
open
a
hardware store.
I'm sure if you're like us, you've had the exact same thought every time you've seen Kevin Federline and Britney Spears on the news, which is, I don't know which one of them to feel more sorry for, because really they're both in such bad situations with who they have to be married to.
Oh, clearly her.
You feel worse for her than you do for him?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Clearly.
It's tough, I think.
Yeah.
But the happy kids have been together what now? Seems like they've been together like a year or something, maybe not married quite that long, but we've been hearing they've had some trouble. And they're working on a plan to get their marriage back on track. We thought we'd get an update from the happy lovers right now. Good morning, guys.
Hey, y'all. Morning.
Booyakah.
Brandy, how's little Sean Preston? What's he up to this morning?
Oh, he's so adorable. He just, like, burped and farted everywhere. He's just like his daddy.
Yeah. Burp and fart. Booyakah.
Is it true that we read that that your husband tried to pierce your kid's ears? Is that story true?
Yeah. He didn't even, like, ask me and some stuff. He's like, bud, taking the kid. I was like, what? What kid?
Next is the tattoo. I don't understand the problem. Like I've told you many times before, you're born a G. No. You know what I'm saying? You're born a G.
Kevin, I told you, you need to communicate more with Brittany about making choices about your children.
All right, Dr. Phil, my bad.
Something you have to share and work on together.
Wait a second here. Dr. Phil, are you on the phone with Brittany and Kevin?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're good. That was the next story we were going to bring up, is we heard that Britney Spears and Kevin Federline were going to see you for help in their marriage.
I've moved in with them so I can work around the clock, 24 hours a day, to try to get their dog to hunt.
He felt like we were the type of couple that was labor intensive. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So he moved in, and it's awesome.
I like it. Really? I like it. Dr. Phil, he's a doctor.
Sure. Brittany, how come you like having Dr. Phil around? It seemed like it would be a little crowded there with all of you living in the same place.
Dr. Phil is teaching us to love smart. You need to love smart
you
and stuff.
You need to love smart.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Not loving dumbly, loving smartly.
Brittany, give us a little more info on that.
I got my work cut out for me here.
Yeah. Dr. Phil, how long have you been living with the happy couple?
We've been here about 2 weeks, round the clock, 24 hours a day treatment.
Wow.
And I think it's helping.
Really? You think their marriage can be saved?
Nope. What is your problem?
I don't know what you're talking about, man. I don't know what you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to live my life. You know what I'm saying? Coming up every day, keeping my head up like a thug.
Are Kevin and Brittany open to your suggestions, Dr. Phil?
They are open, and we talk about it, and then they forget everything I just said.
Right.
It's like talking, well, to Kevin, quite frankly.
Dr. Phil, what would you say, and I hate to simplify the relationship that they have, but what would you say is their biggest problem? Is it a lack of communication, lack of respect, lack of equality? What?
Well, I've tried to simplify and to narrow in on the main source of their problem.
And what's that?
I think if you work on the largest problem, the smaller ones tend to fix themselves.
Okay.
And I think the biggest difficulty they're running into in their relationship is they're both retards. And two retards together, you just get a big retarded relationship.
And Brittany, what do you get out of that?
I learned that it's not my first rodeo. from Dr. Phil.
Right. It's not your first rodeo.
It's not my first rodeo because it's my second marriage and second time's a charm, according to the Dalai Lama and Madonna and everybody that I'm reading in Kabbalah. And I'm trying to get deep, guys. I'm trying to get
and
really
love
serious.
Smart.
Smart, Kevin. Love smart. Love
okay.
smart.
What does that mean, Brittany? Explain love smart to us.
Love smartly is not dumbly. So it's like using your brain and stuff when you're talking and you're like, okay, I've got the baby. I'm going to get in the car. Does the baby get in shotgun? No. The baby has to be strapped down like NASCAR.
Ooh. That's right. You got that right.
Put this child in the car seat.
But Dr. Phil, you have to be happy hearing her talk like that. It sounds like you're getting through.
No, she won't remember in 4 minutes.
Okay. Well, that's
right. Next thing you know, the kid's on top of the car. She's driving away from Starbucks with her purse and the child on the roof.
Ooh, Starbucks. Yeah.
All right. Try to pay attention, Brittany. Listen, one more thing. Kevin Federline, as an artist, I know every time we talk to you, it seems like whatever's going on in your life finds its way into your work. Has that been the case with Dr. Phil in the house?
Oh, for Sheezy. You know what I'm saying? In fact, just a week ago, I convinced Dr. Feezy to go with me to the studio, the Disco D studio, you know what I'm saying? Because I was like, I felt like he's become such a big part of my life.
Right.
You know, and probably the biggest thing in my life is my art.
Of course, you're an artist.
I wanted to include him in it.
Okay.
And we were riding the Escalade over to Disco D's, I found out we have a lot more in common than you would think. You know what I'm saying? We started talking about, like, how he came up.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? As a doctor and in the show business.
Right.
And then how I came up.
You guys have nothing in common.
That's what you think.
Now,
it turns out Kevin and I are a lot more alike than I would have suspected.
Is that right? Okay.
It is.
Now, did you watch him while he was in the studio making this song?
No, we did. I did a song with him.
He collaborated. Collaborate!
Dr. Phil, you're on the song.
Hope Ho's Al.
Fantastic. What's this called?
This is called Two Peas in a Pod.
I don't know, Kevin. I'm not much of a rapper.
Oh, come on, Dr. Phil. You know what I'm saying? Hip-hop comes from within.
Well, I do have a lot of heart. All right, I'll give it a try. Let's see how it sounds.
We're two peas in a pod. We live off women.
If money is the juice,
a female is the lemon.
Gotta squeeze to get what you need. Two coattailing douchebags fueled by greed.
Well, they call me Dr. Phil. I give bad advice. I got my head in Oprah's ass like a board in a vice.
And I'm K-Fed. Britney pays my bills. I move from Fresno to the Hollywood Hills.
Coming out of Texas like George W., my lack of compassion just might trouble you. Getting a divorce or your mother should die. I'll charge you lots of money, then tell you not to cry.
I'm a dope-smoking wigger with a white trash flare. Pants around my ankles, braids in my hair.
What is your problem? That's my catchphrase.
I got the IQ of a monkey in a cage. I bang a fat hoe. Her name is Britney.
I brown nose a black bitch named Oprah Winfrey. We're both parasites of rich fat ladies.
Britney bought my Benz.
Oprah paid for my Mercedes.
Book of the Month Club, illegitimate kids. Whatever it takes to make it in showbiz. Like it or not, you gotta give us credit.
We keep our hoes in check.
Damn straight.
You said it.
I'm sorry.
We're two peas in a pod. We live off women. If money is the juice,
a female is the lemon.
Gotta squeeze to get what you need. Two coattailing douchebags fueled by greed.
See, Dr. Phil, I told you could flow. Damn.
Well, hot damn. I'm pretty pleased with myself, and I think Oprah's gonna be glad I sound so Negro.
What do you have to say about that?
Booyakaw!
Wow. How about that?
Do we or do we not have another genius on our hands?
Wow! How about that?
Our CD drops next month. I hope you all pick it up for Shizzle.
Time now for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Yes, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. The best of Kevin and Bean. The boys are on vacation, so while they're gone, it's really the Ralph and Psycho Mike Show.
Yeah, yeah.
Bitches, yeah.
Yeah.
They made the mistake of
long awaited
leaving the microphones on while they left the building. So we're here to bring you the latest and greatest in showbiz news for the Showbiz Beat. And before I get into it, Psycho Mike, I have to tell you that I was thinking of you this weekend.
Really?
Not that I don't every weekend.
I'm intrigued.
But Saturday night, I had the good fortune of being invited to a huge bash up at the Playboy Mansion.
Okay.
And you know, when the Playboy Mansion beckons,
Ralph Garman,
I go.
Answers.
That's right. So I'm up at the mansion and hanging out there at the grotto and hanging backstage and in the backyard, rather. And there's just a bunch of smoking hot chicks and the booze is flowing. Everybody's having a good time. And I'm looking around seeing, you know, who the guests are. And who do I see there at the mansion?
Uh-huh.
Kevin Federline.
Ah! Yes. What?
K-Fed at the mansion, getting down, partying, wearing a straw hat.
Shut up.
A wife beater.
Shut. Did you talk to him?
No, I didn't. I didn't have the sack to go up and talk to him. I wanted to, but I was afraid I'd get into an altercation and be tossed out of Hef's mansion, and that would break my heart. But the funniest part was Federline's walking around the grotto with a huge black security guard following him around, protecting him from nobody.
Of course.
Nobody was going up to him. No one was asking for an autograph or a picture or anything. There was some looking and pointing, but no one was even close to making contact with this guy.
That's Black the Ripper.
There was no interest whatsoever. And this guy was so fully in security mode. He's like got his hands out and he's doing the quick head swivel and all that kind of stuff as if he's protecting the president. It was magical.
In Federline's defense, if you're Kevin Federline, you probably do get a lot of people that come up and try to kick your ass.
Well, that's what Lightning was saying in the other room. I said, you know, was he trying to defend him from mad fans, the swarm of fans he was expecting at the mansion? And Lightning's like, no, he's probably there protecting from someone trying to take a swing at him or something.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a polarizing person, and that's cutting him a lot of slack, saying he's polarizing. I mean, most people just hate him.
Yeah,
you got to think that there's a lot of drunk douchebags wherever he goes to clubs and stuff that are just going to punch him just to say they punched Kevin Federline.
That's probably true. I was tempted to toss him in the pool. I thought that would have been funny.
There's certain stuff that you go, well, okay, I'd go to jail for the night, and I'd probably never be allowed back in the mansion. That's one of those things that would be worth it.
Grab him and toss him in the pool to see his straw fedora just kind of floating on the surface after he went under.
His 11 two-way short out in his pocket as he's swimming around.
Would have been hilarious. But anyway, thought of you.
Well, thank you.
Wish I had had the sack to go up and actually take him on, but I did go Federline several times as he walked past him. Watched him turn around.
Remember, I did talk to him and engage him at that Kitson deal that where he debuted his new clothing line. And, you know, I know this is shocking, but it's disappointing talking to Kevin Federline. He's not, you know, one for the compelling conversation.
I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, I was expecting just this elevated discourse and all this.
I thought the two of you together would be like Plato and Socrates sitting down.
Hey, dog, man, you know what? Talk to my manager about that, dog. You know what I'm saying? Talk to my manager. I don't know, man. I don't control that.
Yeah, he doesn't control that. Let's take a look at the showbiz news, shall we? Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Boy, America loves a rat that can cook, doesn't it?
Sure.
Ratatouille made $47.2 million, making it number one by far this weekend. Then right behind that, John McClane, Yippee-Ki-Yo-Ki-Yay, mother effer. Live Free or Die Hard was number two at the box office, made a little over $33 million this weekend. Evan Almighty was number three, 1408. The new movie starring John Cusack based on the Stephen King short story, number four at the box office. Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer was number five. Knocked Up, Ocean's 13, Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End, Sicko, and Evening, rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Speaking of Sicko, that's the documentary, the new Michael Moore documentary about the U.S. healthcare system.
Yeah.
Expanded to wide release this past weekend, and Michael Moore told The Hollywood Reporter that the scene in which... I mean, everyone's talking about the scene in which he takes a bunch of 9/11 rescue workers, volunteers,
right,
who can't get health coverage in the U.S. to get treatment in Cuba to make a point. And he goes through Guantanamo Bay in the film. It's heavily mined, by the way, that bay. And it was it's a pretty bold section of the film. And he said he was inspired to do that by Sacha Baron Cohen.
Okay.
Apparently he met Borat at the Toronto Film Festival and saw his movie and thought it was so brave of him that he thought he had to step up his game a little bit, and that's why he took those people through Guantanamo Bay.
Okay, I can see that.
So, Borat inspired Michael Moore, which I never thought I'd say out loud. Pamela Anderson celebrated her 40th birthday this weekend. Yeah, she's looking pretty good for 40.
Yeah.
She was in Vegas, of course, because she's performing in The Beauty of Magic at Planet Hollywood. It's a magic show at the Planet Hollywood Hotel and Casino. Of course, the magician there, Hans Klock, is the name of the magician that she works with. After her performance, she had a party. The usual crowd was there, including her ex-husband, Tommy Lee.
They just can't get enough.
No, they can't. You know, they're just boning. Yeah. They're just throwing the ex-bone all the time.
Yeah.
The ex-bone, by the way.
It's a good man. He's opening up for Hans Klock.
Us Weekly magazine has released its list of the worst-dressed celebrities.
All right, hold on. Let me take a stab at this one.
I just got the top four here, so give me... They're all chicks, because, you know, chicks care about fashion.
Oh, okay, Britney Spears.
Number two, Britney Spears.
Biling? Is she a big enough celebrity?
No, I don't think she is.
She's a horrible dresser.
Yeah, she is, but she didn't make the top four, at least.
Nicholas Sheridan.
No, although excellent, excellent guess. No, right. The top four.
Give it to me.
Kimberly Stewart.
Okay.
Number four, Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah.
American Idol Kelly Clarkson. Do you know what her problem is? She wears, she's a little on the chunky side.
Yeah.
And she wears skinny girl clothes.
Yeah. Kelly Clarkson is, if you don't know what a muffin top is, just go look that up in the Urban Dictionary. There might be a picture of Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah.
Just where she wears the size 27 waist jeans or the size 2 dress, and she's clearly not capable of fitting in properly.
She's flowing over.
Yeah.
She sometimes will work the short skirt and, like, the thigh-high boots or tights, and then you just have this, she's got two drumsticks she got sticking out on either side of the side.
Leg fupa is what we like to call it around our neck of the woods.
And then Britney Spears, as we mentioned, number two, and Joss Stone, number one. I don't care what she wears. I'm still all about that.
I agree.
Chris Angel, Mind Freak.
Oh, God.
This story's great. Thursday, news came out that Chris Angel, who, of course, is dating Cameron Diaz, is actually married. Yeah. His wife, Joanne Sarantakos. By the way, that's Chris Angel's real name, Chris Sarantakos.
I wonder why he went with Angel. Rolls off the tongue.
Claims that he kept their marriage a secret to help his career. Once he hit the big time, though, including making more than $7 million in 2006, he abandoned his wife and has not been giving her a dime, according to Joanne Sarantakos.
What?
So not only has she been kept a secret, but now dude has left and he's not giving her any cash, and they're still married.
That's a fantastic trick right there.
Making his marriage disappear?
Yeah, he told his wife, he's like, watch, I'm going to disappear.
Yeah. Well, apparently some of his cash is going to be disappearing because she is taking him to court, and she claims that she is going to subpoena Cameron Diaz to come in and testify as Chris's girlfriend slash lover. So
this is a mess.
It's going to be good times. I can't wait to see him.
You have to save some of that money for eyeliner and creatine.
I've been doing some research about Mind Freak.
Yeah.
And apparently there's a large section of Magic fans who do not care for his shtick.
It's just too contrived, rock star BS.
Yeah, that, and they say that, you know, the street magic he does where he amazes people and they go, oh my God, you're the best and everything. All plants. All the audience members you see him working in front of are all Confederates of his. And that's how he pulls off all the stuff because they work with him.
What is it with the magicians in the Poontang, by the way?
They do get crazy tail.
Ridiculous. If you think about the Copperfield, remember he was banging
Claudia Schiffer
at the peak of her powers.
Yes.
And then David Blaine runs through models like their tissue.
It's nuts how smoking hot, albeit dim-witted women respond strongly to card tricks. That's all I can put together.
It's like a dog and a flashlight.
Because what's a nerdier hobby than magic, really? You know, Chris Sarantakis was sitting in his basement his entire adolescence just making coins come out of his ear and crap. And then, you know, he dyes his hair and puts on a leather jacket, and now he's cool.
Yeah, I think it's the ultimate I'll show you type of thing when you obviously weren't an athlete in high school or whatever, and you couldn't get the poon because of the jocks, and you couldn't pick up a guitar. So, you got a magic book and stayed, like you said, in your parents' basement, and
I had the wrong hobby because there's no cool light at the end of the nerd tunnel for comic book sci-fi geeks. That never happens. You don't like read a bunch of comic books when you're 12 and then suddenly that gets really cool and you start scoring with chicks because you're at the comic book convention, you know. But magicians seem to be able to pull it out the other side.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I hate them all so much. And before I get to celebrity birthdays, I do have an announcement. This is the coolest thing ever, and I am almost tempted not to talk about it because I want to win it myself. But up on eBay, you can currently find Dinner with Spinal Tap.
What?
One lucky fan's dream will come true. If you are the high bidder, you will get to have dinner with Christopher Guest, Michael McKean, Harry Shearer, and Rob Reiner. An exclusive dinner, and you get to hang out for the night here in Los Angeles. All the proceeds are going to the Live Earth concerts. This is Al Gore's concert to stop global warming. And the Alliance for Climate Protection. That's they're doing this for charity. But it's up on eBay right now, Dinner with Spinal Tap. The opening bid's at $2,000. I don't know. Nobody's bid as of right now. So they say that's why I'm tempted not to talk about it, because I would like to bid and win on this. Because if you've never seen Spinal Tap, it is, you know, we're so used to now the genre of the mockumentary.
because Christopher Guest has done so many great ones, and there's been other people who do stuff like that. But you have to remember, the time Spinal Tap came out, no one had ever done anything like that. A comedy film that looked like a documentary was just unheard of.
Right.
It's sheer genius. It still holds up. If you watch it now, it's just freaking hilarious.
It is one of those movies I can watch over and over again and yet still get laugh out loud moments.
Yeah.
You know, sitting by myself.
So if you want to do a good turn for the Earth and help raise some money for the climate crisis, you can bid on this Dinner with Spinal Tap. It's up on eBay right now. Just punch in Dinner with Spinal Tap and it'll come up. But I'm telling you, you're going to be going up against me. Because an evening with those guys would be like a dream come true. I'd just laugh my ass off.
Which, not available in Boston, unfortunately, though.
No. Not a big college town. I wouldn't worry about
that. That's
what I hear. Wouldn't worry about Boston. Today's celebrity birthdays. Larry David. See, that's the problem. That's what you get when you have two first names.
Yeah.
For first and last name. People screw it up.
Yeah.
Larry David, David Larry. Either way, it works. Larry David from Curb Your Enthusiasm. He's 60 years old today. Dave Parsons from Bush, the bass player for that band. He is 42 years old today. Grow up. Michelle Branch is 24 years old today. Ashley Teasdale.
Oh, yeah.
From High School Musical is 22. Is it Teasdale or Tisdale?
I think Tinsdale.
There's no N in there.
Dude, hold on.
It's T-I-S-D-A-L-E.
Wait a second.
It says here Ashley T-I-S-D-A-L-E.
Hold on, Tisdale.
What are you doing? You're calling her?
Hey, this is Ashley Tisdale from High School Musical, and you're listening to Kevin and Bean on the world famous K-Rock. Bean, stop watching the movie.
She's saying Tisdale.
Okay, well, that answers your
Not
question.
Not Tinsdale.
Hey, you know what? Listen.
Anyway, Tisdale. Ashley Tisdale is 22 years old today. And Lindsay Lohan.
Oh.
Lindsay Lohan celebrates her 21st birthday today. Nothing is more important to a young lady than when she gets her first taste of champagne. On her 21st birthday.
No longer will she have to wait in the parking lot of the liquor store.
That's right. She won't have to drink that O'Doul's anymore. She can have a beer that has alcohol in it. Oh,
I'll let you keep the change if you buy me a sixer.
Oh, wait a minute. She's in rehab. For being a drunk and having cocaine in her system.
She has no more nasal canal.
She's deviated.
Yeah, yo.
In the septum department. I'm Raph Garman. I walk the show his beat.
And we're officially into summer right now, which means we're officially into sun tanning right now. You know what that means.
Pisses me off more than anything I'm finding in my life are commercials.
TV commercials.
Commercials,
yeah.
Across the board infuriate me, but some more than others.
You're killing me, Larry!
Stuff like that. There's things that just stick in your craw, and not even so much the presentation, because some are just lame, or some are not funny, or some are bad, or trying too hard. But sometimes just the basic premise behind a commercial really gets me pissed off. I mean, right now, Carl's Jr. is telling us we have to have a pound of beef every time we
have lunch.
Pound
of beef. You must eat a pound of beef.
For some reason, I have to aspire to eating a pound of beef. That's very important to me. That makes me angry. But lately, it's been the Coppertone commercials, because we're in the middle of summertime now.
Coppertone.
And Coppertone is trying to tell us how concerned they are about our skin.
Oh.
And this is after some 60 years of forcing us to go out and lay on the beach with oil all over ourselves so we get a nice crispy brown color.
Go outside. Stay in the sun.
Don't be a pale face. That was their first slogan. Their first advertising slogan ever in 1945 when they introduced Coppertone suntan oils. Don't be a pale face.
And then the Indians got all pissed.
Get out there and just burn. Just let the sun just turn your skin to leather, because you're not young and attractive unless you look burnt.
Well, back then, that's all Coppertone or any of these products were interested in, was how to get a deeper, richer tan. It wasn't so much protection from the sun as it was a way to convert that sun into brown, right?
Yeah, but they invented that need. No one really needed to go out and get a tan before they started ramming down our throats with TV commercials that you weren't attractive and you weren't sexy and you weren't out there having a good time. You weren't young and hip unless you had a golden brown tan.
That is
no
a good
one
point.
Cared before. So they invented the tan.
We didn't know that we needed to be tan.
Right. We didn't know. We thought you could be healthy without a tan. No, you have to have a tan to look healthy. Because it turns out we're all getting cancer.
It used to be that if you didn't have a tan, it meant you were well off because you weren't outside working.
Right.
That's right.
You were saving your skin from the ravages of the sun.
Right.
Then Coppertone said in 1945, get out there. You're ugly. You're not brown. You're ugly. Get your pale ass out there and sit on the beach for hours. And here's some cooking oil, some frying oil that you put on your skin that just turns it crispy like the outside of a turkey. You know when you burn a turkey and it gets crispy? That's how your skin should look. That's what they're telling us. But now, all of a sudden, they're taking, we're changing it. And they knew. They knew it was bad.
But what do you mean they're doing now? I haven't seen it.
Well, let me take you through this first, okay? That was in the 40s and 50s. They came out with the oil, which was basically just basting yourself in the sun so you got nice and crispy and brown.
Right.
Then they realized, people are out there, they're frying their asses off, and they're getting sunburned. They're getting painful, blistering sunburns on their skin. The sun is destroying the outside of their bodies.
Right.
Maybe we should tell them to get out of the sun and stop doing that. No, we're going to invent something that'll just kill the pain so they can go back out again. And they came out with solar cane. That was their new trick, solar cane. You know the stuff doctors use to anesthetize the skin before they cut it open?
Right.
Let's spray that on them so they won't know that they're burning in the sun when we tell them to go out there and do it. And then you get commercials like this. This is from the 60s. This was a commercial for solar cane.
Girl talk.
Girl talk.
Hot sun.
Laying in the sun.
Hours drift away.
Hours drift away. Hours.
Ah! Fiery sunburn.
Fiery sunburn.
Put out the fire.
Oh.
Stop sunburn pain with solar cane.
Yeah.
Solar cane with pain-killing benzocaine. The fast, effective ingredient used by doctors. Solar cane is cooling, soothing, helps in healing. Yes, solar cane stops sunburn pain fast.
Don't you dare get out of the sun. Just numb your skin to the pain of painful sunburn.
So you don't know you're burning.
That's right. So now they're telling us, have you seen these commercials now?
My daughter, she's out in the sun, but I have skin cancer, but not her. No, no, no. Not with Copper Tone cover-up or whatever.
Oh,
the hell
no,
it is.
You're kidding.
Yeah, Bean, you have that commercial for me?
Oh. I do, yes.
My family always loved the sun, but my husband, he got skin cancer.
Uh-oh.
There were 1.3 million new cases of skin cancer last year. Now we use Coppertone Spectra 3 with triple protection.
Mm-hmm.
Coppertone, get smart about the sun.
Yeah.
Basically what they're saying
now.
Don't go out in the sun at all ever, but if you have to, please cover yourself with this product so you can't feel it.
Right. You know, the past 60 years, what have we been telling you? Well, forget all that. Now we're concerned about you. Means we're trying to cash in on the problem we created.
You know all those people that are out there that have cancer? Don't do that now. Yeah. Use this product.
Remember all those cancer cases we caused by telling people they weren't hot and sexy unless they were laying in the sun? Whoops! Now buy this thing now instead. Because we can't sell you the old crap anymore. You got too smart. This is like Philip Morris selling oxygen tanks. You don't get to create the problem and then cash in on the solution on the other end of it. You don't get to be Haagen-Dazs and then sell elastic waisted pants.
The funny thing is they don't need to sell a product now because you should just stay out of the sun. If you stay out of the sun, you don't need Copper Tone anymore.
Well, that's the problem. They can't sell the other crap to us because no one's going to lay in the sun and just oil themselves up and fry because we all know at 80 your ears start falling off.
Right, sure.
But you can't now cash in on the solution. No, we should not let Copper Tone sell this to us.
Someone else
has to make money on this. There's some other company that has to make money on fixing the problem Copper Tone started.
A company that didn't tell us to get out in the sun in the first place?
Exactly. You can't be Budweiser and start your own liver clinic. You know what I'm saying? You can't be the Ford Pinto and sell burn cream at the dealership. You don't get it both ways. Listen, this one. This is a home movie of me and my sister.
That's me and my sister. Nice hands, huh? She got skin cancer last year. Every 5 minutes, another woman is diagnosed with skin cancer. And now I use this Copper Tone Ultra Sheer sunscreen every day.
No, because in the home movies back in the 60s, Copper Tone made you go out there. They don't get the cash in.
I think I'm with you on this.
That is bogus.
They can't make the problem, and then once we figure out what they were doing to us, they're smart. They're hip to us now. What can we do? We'll sell them cream to keep them from getting tan now. That's what we'll do.
Brilliant.
Just the opposite. We'll reinvent our nasty corporate selves. Boo, Copper Tone.
Boo!
Do you think everybody celebrates their birthday the same way you do? We could all be so lucky as to celebrate it like the doctor does. Stephen Hawking. He's the guy that wrote The Brief History of Time and a bunch of other books and is considered one of the smartest people in the world. And I believe turned 61, 62, 63. How old are you, Stephen?
62.
Oh, fantastic. Well, happy birthday to you. What does a guy like you do to celebrate a milestone birthday?
I was hanging with G-Unit, rolling on some dubs.
Is that right?
Hawking was in the hizzy, my nizzle.
I'm very surprised to hear you say that, because you don't seem like a guy who would necessarily be down with the gangsters.
G-Unit and I grabbed our gats and went to break us off some shorties.
Oh, okay.
We were rolling deep into the strip club.
Is that right?
Huh. Sipping Chris and Hen.
Well, it's good to know that...
I got me a 40 and an 8 ball in the limo, yo.
Okay, well, congratulations on that.
Those bitches were shaking me like a Polaroid picture.
Oh, wow, I had no idea that you were that hip.
Don't be a playa, hater.
How can a guy be that smart and yet be hanging with that crowd? I don't understand.
I'm loving it.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
We just figured you sat around all the time thinking of really, really smart stuff, like how far it is to the next galaxy, that sort of thing.
Man cannot live by brains alone.
That's right, yeah.
I gotta get down, my niggas.
Okay. All right, Stephen. Well, thanks for taking a couple of seconds out this morning to tell us how you celebrated.
I gotta break me off a piece of that,
I gotcha. All right, well, happy birthday. Best of luck this year.
Yeah.
And what you're about to hear is a scientific study.
And if you don't like the way it comes out, don't blame us. We just spin the wheel.
All right, a little slow. Man, my penis is huge.
I can't drive.
I'm only good for manual labor.
Oi, I'm so cheap. I only work at 7-Eleven.
Oh, sure, I'm drunk all the time.
I lost my virginity to my sister. It's the Wheel of Racial Stereotypes. And now, here are your hosts, Kevin and Bean.
If you're easily offended, please listen to a CD for a few minutes.
Exactly.
Yeah. In fact, I'm glad you brought that up, Kevin, because we should give some sort of a disclaimer. Because every time we break out the Wheel of Racial Stereotypes, the Wheel of Racial Stereotypes,
yes,
we get people who half listen or think they hear stuff that they don't hear, and then they fire off angry emails to us and our supervisors. Look, we're not coming on the air and saying, hey, guys, Jews are cheap, as an example of something that we've dealt with in the past on the Wheel of Racial Stereotypes. What we're saying is, we've heard that. Others have heard that. We don't know whether it's true or not. Let's get some evidence and decide whether it's true or not. That's all we're doing is we're shining the white hot spotlight of truth on some of these stereotypes that you've heard.
And
it's entertaining and educational, Kevin. That's what I'm saying.
And by their very nature, these are stereotypes. That's the name of it.
Right.
So
exactly.
And no one is insinuating that everybody is this way. But what we've proven or disproven so far with the Wheel of Racial Stereotypes, black people don't tip is false.
Yes.
We disproved that one. We're going to ask for you if you have firsthand information to help us out in a minute. Jewish people are cheap is true. Black men have large penises is also true.
That one was way true, if I remember.
The other one that was way true is rednecks bang their relatives.
Oh,
unfortunately,
yeah.
That was also way true.
Yeah, we got a lot of calls from the 909 on that one.
Mexicans don't ever move out of the house. Also true. Asian men pick their nose. True. But with a caveat, it's mostly old Asian men.
Right.
That pick their nose. I'm not sure.
In public. Right.
I think that just came up and everybody kind of said the same thing. And finally, it's true that white people smell like mayonnaise.
Well, that was a devastating day for us all.
That was disturbing.
That was very disturbing because we had never heard that stereotype, but Lisa brought it up. And so we said, well, we've never heard it, but we'll put it on the wheel. And it was proven true.
I know. I grew up in Inglewood. I heard it.
Lisa has a faint whiff of tartar sauce also, which I didn't know.
Nice.
All right. The Wheel of Racial Stereotypes is here. Let's see. Eskimos eat whale blubber is on the wheel.
Okay.
White people can't dance. Black men do not give oral sex. Hispanics drive slowly. French people are smelly. Indians can't hold their fire water. Asians are good at math. Armenians sell pagers / cell phones. And all 7-Eleven employees are Middle Eastern or Indian.
Okay.
Oh, there's some good ones out there. Okay.
Here we go.
All right, we spin the wheel. Whatever it lands on, that's what we open up the phones to get your first-hand experience to help us prove or disprove this stereotype.
Black men do not give oral sex.
Yeah!
Wow.
I have heard this.
I have heard that. I'm trying to...
I also heard that black men call white men slurpers.
Really?
Yes.
Would that make you the slurpee?
Yes.
Yes, it would indeed. I'm happy to be one.
That's funny.
Our good friend Anel, by the way, chose to call in on this particular topic. So, Anel in Los Angeles, black men do not give oral. What say you?
I'd have to say that is not true.
Not true.
Oh,
not true,
really?
Says Anel. Wow.
I mean, I haven't been with many black men. But, I mean,
no. We're talking about heterosexual. Again, we have to say, Anel.
Okay. Yeah, man, I've had a goatee since about 10th grade, man. I ain't gonna lie. It was my white friend to turn me on to it.
10th grade.
But, I mean, I would say young black men probably don't, or black men in the 70s.
What do you think that's about, Danelle? Because I've heard that stereotype in the past. Of course, we're going to decide in a few minutes here whether it's true or not. But how did something like that get started? What did you hear about it coming up?
Oh, man. I mean, you know, it's one of those type of stereotypes out there. It's kind of like the black people don't tip thing. You know
right.
what I mean? Where it just comes up and gets swirled around circles. And I think what it is it's more hearsay than actual experience. You know what I mean? I mean, how many white women really admit they've been with a black man? Because if they had, they'd still be with a black man. You know what I'm saying? You're black, you never go back, baby.
Sure. That's what I hear. All right.
Do you think it's also that black men don't admit it to each other?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm not going to lie, man. You know, we're not like y'all. We don't go to the locker room like, man, I had some great months last night, man. You know, we're a little bit more on the slide. But you know the ones who do and the ones who don't. I mean, you know, and the ones who do have happy women and the ones who don't are usually single and, you know, in the club.
Do black guys call white guys slurpers? Is that true?
Yes. That's true. We're also known as sippy straws. And, of course, there's always the blank divers, you know, which is nothing new.
Of course.
Okay. All right. So, now, if I understand you correctly, my friend, we're going to put you down for false. Black men do not give oral sex. False, right? You say?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm saying that rumor is false. Yes, black men do give oral sex, and quite well, I might add.
Okay. We'll ask your wife about that.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, thank you, Adele.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Mike, Beverly Hills. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Hey, Kevin Mike. Bean. Lisa May. What's up,
girl? What's up?
What's up? All right. Wheel of racial stereotypes. Black men do not give oral sex.
True or false?
What do you think?
Oh, that's false, man.
False.
That's false.
Okay, so not
it's
true.
It's actually pretty documented. DJ Quick has a song called Sweet Black, you know,
yeah, sure.
Vagina. Yeah. And he talks about going down. A lot of the R&B singers back in the 80s were talking about, let me taste your wine.
So,
wow, I thought that was about wine.
It's pretty documented. We go down and we do enjoy it.
Did you hear Scott from Bakersfield called and said, listen to Black Nubian, Love Me or Leave Me Alone. Have you heard that?
Loving it. Love that song. Yeah. Love Me or Leave Me Alone.
Yeah, that's where they claim they don't do it, but all right.
Here's here's a little piece of the Nubian.
Well, I can see I done had some flowers, but they try to get just that. Thought I'd like to chase the cat, but I'm not a dog goddess who you're looking at.
Okay, I think we get the message there. I think that's true. All right, so that's so far two say false on this one. Thank you for the call,
Mike. Michelle in Anaheim. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi there.
Hi, Michelle.
Wheel of racial stereotypes today. Black men do not give oral sex. What do you think?
It's true.
It is true. Okay.
Ooh, a true vote.
Five different black men, and it's true.
You've been with five different black men.
So do you ask them about it? At some point, I imagine it's come up in the conversation. What's the reason you get, if there is one?
I've had a boyfriend for almost 15 months, and he just said he just didn't do it. He expected it, but refused to do it.
Did he just not do it with you for some specific reason?
No, I actually talked to three of his ex-girlfriends. And it's the same thing.
All right.
Wow, that's a deal breaker for me, Michelle.
After a while, I got tired of it.
All right. Thank you, Michelle, for the call.
Thank you for the call.
Well, be thankful this is television and not smell-o-vision.
Starting this 4th of July, we're going to go all weekend long with a freedom of choice.
And it sounds to me like that's that thing where people put in their three favorite songs to KROQ.com, and then we spit them out on the radio. We play those songs for you, right?
Sounds like that. Wish I knew.
We'll check the paperwork and get back to you. Here's Ralph.
Wow. Even on tape, they blow. I mean, you expect it when they're live that they have no control over how they sound because they're both, you know, struggling. But that was on tape. They could have said, oh, you know what? That didn't sound good. Let's go back and re-record
they
that.
They easily could have. You're right. But just as confused a mess.
They have just surrendered.
Oh, they've given up.
They sure have. You're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean. I put that in quotes because that could be an ironic statement right there. It is 7:58 here on the world-famous K-Rock. We'll get you back to the best of Kevin and Bean in just a few moments. In the meanwhile, your old radio pal Ralph is hanging out here in the studio with Psycho Mike, bringing you the showbiz beat. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Ratatouille? Huge hit. Kids can't get enough of rats, I'll tell you. They love them some rats.
Vermin. Big with the children, Ralph.
Children love all kinds of varmints that, you know, squeak and chew through cords and things.
Carry rabies.
Yes. Ratatouille, $47.2 million, made it number one at the box office this weekend. Live Free or Die Hard, number two, made a little bit over $33 million. Evan Almighty was $15 million, made enough to make it number three at the box office. 1408 was number four. Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer, number five. Knocked up at six. Ocean's 13 takes the seven slot. At eight, Pirates of the Caribbean, World's End. Number nine, Sicko. And number 10, Evening. That rounds out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Here's a cool thing. If, like me, excuse me, you are a huge Spinal Tap fan.
Yeah.
Boy, do I love that movie. I can't get enough of them. You know, they're performing at the Live Earth concert in London on July 7th. They'll be doing their brand new single, Warmer Than Hell, from Spinal Tap. And they're also doing their part to raise some money for the climate crisis situation. Up on eBay today is Dinner with Spinal Tap. That's right. You get to have a private, exclusive dinner. You spend the evening with Christopher Guest, Michael McKean, Harry Shearer, who, of course, you also know from his fine work over there on The Simpsons, and also his radio show, Le Show, which I love, and Rob Reiner, director of the original Spinal Tap movie. All four of those guys and you hanging out for dinner. It's pretty cool. Proceeds go to the Live Earth concert and also the Alliance for Climate Protection. Up on eBay right now, opening bid is at $2,000. I expect it to skyrocket. I'm going to try to place a bid on this myself because I can't imagine guys I'd rather spend an evening with. I love that movie so much.
Now, is it dinner with Spinal Tap or dinner with who play Spinal Tap?
It lists the actors, but it would be hysterical if you got to sit down with Nigel Tufnel and Derek St. Hubbins and the other one.
That guy.
What's his name? Derek Smalls.
That's who.
The bass player. And Marty DeBerge, of course, was Rob Reiner as the director. So, yeah, that'd be cool.
No drummer, though.
No, because they burst into flames.
Yeah, spontaneously combust.
Spontaneous. They're trying to stop the Earth from doing the same thing, apparently. That's what they said. They don't want the Earth to spontaneously combust. So. There you go. And Chris Angel's a douchebag.
Yeah.
That's not the news story, though. The news story is that he's...
Yeah,
no, that's not the news story.
That's not the story either. He's married! What? Guy who's been famously dating Cameron Diaz for a while now. Before that, dated Minnie Driver.
What?
Apparently has a wife that no one seemed to know about before.
What?
Joanne Sarantakos is her name. Because Chris's real name is Chris Sarantakos. It's not Angel at all.
Oh. Well, why wouldn't you just go with Sarantakos? It rolls off the tongue so well.
Stepped forward and said, yeah, the marriage has gone out of our... Crap. The magic has gone out of our marriage, is what she's saying.
Oh, Ralph.
She wants a divorce. Can't imagine why. What woman wouldn't like a husband who keeps you a secret for all these years? She claims not only has he disrespected her by doing that, but once his career took off, he bolted. And she hasn't seen a penny of his income that has increased significantly since his TV show went on the air and he started making more and more money for his personal appearances as well. He just signed a contract with the Las Vegas Hotel worth $200 million, by the way.
Wow. She hasn't seen a penny of it. I'm guessing she's gonna now.
Yeah, she wants to cash in, as you can understand it. But the amazing part is that no one knew this woman existed. And
this is best trick yet.
He's told her, according to her and her lawyers, that it would be better for his image if he appeared to be single. That way he could keep his sex appeal for his single female fans. And so that's why he would never admit that he was married.
Right.
And she bought it, apparently. So I can't wait to follow this case. This is going to be great because her lawyers have said they plan on subpoenaing Cameron Diaz. Have her come into court and testify as his lover.
This is going to be an awesome court case.
Yeah. I want to hear all the details that Joanne Sarantakos spills about mind freak Chris Angel. It'd be great. She gets on the stand and says, oh, yeah, Chris has a small magic wand. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Speaking of Sarantakos, by the way, I've been heard that Lindsay Lohan's nether regions have been called a Sarantako.
Have they really?
Yes.
The Serengeti Plains?
Or Sarangas, as I was.
Oh, I gotcha. The
deadly gas of a taco.
Speaking of young Ms. Lohan, she celebrates her 21st birthday today as we look at the showbiz birthdays.
Wow. Nice segue.
21 years old today, Lindsay Lohan, as she celebrates with a candle in her bran muffin at rehab this morning. That's not the way you want to
holding
celebrate.
Holding on to the blue book with her other friends at Bill W.
It's not the way you want to celebrate your 21st birthday. Hi, I'm Lindsay. It's my birthday. And I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah.
That's how she gets to start her meetings. Ashley Tisdale.
That's what I'm talking about.
From High School Musical. She's 22 years old today. You met the young lady, haven't you?
Yeah. Dave and I met her at the Grammy Roundtable.
As attractive in person as she is in High School Musical,
I would say
TV show?
More attractive in person. I think maybe just because it's High School Musical, they do her down, make her look a little bit more
youthful, innocent.
Innocent and youthful, exactly.
But in life, she's a real slut.
She's a complete hooker.
She's just a whore.
Yeah, she's wearing nipple tassels and cheetah thong.
She's 22 years old today. Michelle Branch, singer and songwriter, is 24 years old. Dave Parsons, bassist for Bush, is 42 years old today. And Larry David, writer, director of Curb Your Enthusiasm, also one of the creators of Seinfeld, just a comic genius. He's 60 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
What kind of city is it? Is it a tourist city? What does it do?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Come
well,
on.
It people sits there right on the river and looks out. That's what it does.
Houses people.
What's it known for?
Well, that's roads. What I meant. What is it known for?
Not what you said.
What's your city do?
Why didn't you ask what's it known for then? I mean, it seems like that. Those are words that all would have come fairly
what
easily
kind
to
of
you.
What city is it? You could have asked.
I don't know the answer to that question.
Well, you're the answer to that. I wouldn't do
what
it, guys.
What goes on in your city? You could have asked.
What does your city do?
What does your city do?
Well, he understood me, and he was Pakistani.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why he understood you.
You know, I'm glad that you've contributed a new moment with Kevin.
Great.
to the long, long history of those, because I feel like we have gotten to the point, and Ralph, help me out with this, that we're starting to take Kevin for granted.
Absolutely.
And we don't realize what a broadcasting legend we have in our midst. He's a national treasure, and sometimes I think we all just, hey, it's just Kevin. You know, we just see him every day. We don't think about that what he's contributed to the industry.
Brilliance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Must have been like the rest of the Beatles working with John Lennon, where they, you know, everyone on the outside said, this guy is a musical genius for the ages. And everyone's like, oh, it's just John. It's just our pal.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And sometimes you have to sit back and say, it's amazing the body of work Kevin has amassed over the years.
But, I mean, it was less than a week ago that we had Rashida Jones on from The Office. And, you know, a lot of people think Kevin peaked, you know, back in the late 90s. I'm telling you, Kevin's doing the finest work of his career now. I'm saying he's as strong today. He's like an athlete who has just hit a stride late in life, and he just astounds everybody. Let's roll the tape from The Office, Chick.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Did you know that going into when you started on the second office, when you were on the outside office, not the one, main one?
That was a moment.
It's like word jumble.
It is a code.
I have a strange prism that all my thoughts go through, and then it just scatters the words every which direction. I don't know why.
See, I don't think you could have even pulled that one off when you were younger. I think, honestly, you needed the experience and maturity that you have today to be able to make magic like that.
Yeah.
We don't need
to keep going with
this. Well, I'm just saying, it's stunning the amount of work that you've created in the past few years.
What about, Mike, see if you can find the one where we had that guy on who had like 12 kids or something like that. And Kevin was, Kevin had some interesting observations about what the sleeping arrangements must be like in that home.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Now, which sex is your oldest?
We have a boy, Joshua, that's 16.
Now, he's not going to want to spend much time with all those other boys in their room come pretty here a couple of years.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Come pretty here a couple of years. I think the banjo music in the background made Kevin think he was from the Ozarks.
I would like to think that's true.
What do you think happened there, Kevin?
I'm telling you, I have a prism. There's some kind of weird thing that goes on where I know what I want to ask, and yet the words somehow get all jumbled up. I don't know.
It's such a short distance from your brain to your mouth, though. You wouldn't think that there'd be that much
chance. But I've got a big head.
That's true.
It's a little more distance.
It does rattle around in there.
Now, one of the things that I appreciate, Kevin, helping us out with
is... Don't we have something else to do?
This is a tribute to you.
Yeah.
You should appreciate this.
Enjoy this. It's your moment.
Kevin is in show business, and he thinks of things the rest of us don't, because, you know, we'll see the Blue Man Group, for instance, up in Las Vegas, and we'll think, hey, that's the Blue Man Group. But Kevin is the guy who's willing to ask the tough, tough questions.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
We've got to get to the bottom of what in the hell is going on with this Blue Man Group. These guys, they paint their faces red.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I don't have an answer for what happened there. There's no word jumble or anything there.
It's right in the name.
It is in the name, yeah. Blue. And there's only one color in the name. Only one.
Blue Man Group. They're a group of blue men.
Yes.
And yet you insist that they paint their face red.
Why would I say red?
I don't know. I can't imagine.
What about when we take Kevin out on the road?
What about when Kevin's in front of people?
Here's the mark of a true champion. Sure, you can win at home. Sure, in your home field advantage, you can rack up the big yards. But winning away, that's the key when you're on the road.
And I got to tell you that there are college students over there at USC who are still talking about the day Kevin came to town.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
This is the eighth day, which means the theme is eight milds making. I'm sorry, eight maids a milking. This is the eighth day. It means today's theme is eight milds a...
Kevin!
I've got to stop drinking.
That was A Moment
with Kevin.
That was actually at UCLA. It was the UCLA-USC thing. And right.
There you go. Okay.
They were serving me skillets, which is a skillet with
a frying pan full of liquor.
Ralph, you mentioned earlier it's your pal Mark Paul Gosselaar's birthday today.
Okay, seriously.
And if I recall, Kevin did a very touching tribute to Mark Paul some years back.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Mark, so you're gonna, starting tonight, and are you a permanently on the show?
Yes.
Hey, by the way, if you see Botchko, tell him that we're so over there is not anymore, right?
That was a moment.
Oh my lord!
That was a full blown stroke.
It was.
That was an embolism.
You would think after the first one happened, I would let someone else speak, but I jumped right back in.
Back off, man! I don't have it today.
All right, it's
hold on.
We're gonna take a quick break.
I personally love the way that you make your own expressions.
What are you talking about?
You know, we have certain expressions that we use. It's the cherry on top of the cake kind of thing. And you are so creative that way. You take your own way.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
And we're going to try and do that, but it's really difficult to get anything by because they watch us with a fine-tooth comb.
Really?
That was a moment with Kevin.
All right.
Now, I have a request. Ralph Garman, obviously, is our expert when it comes to showbiz stories.
Well, thank you.
But every once in a while, Kevin will throw a little spice on top of a showbiz story. Do you guys remember when Tom Cruise proposed to Katie Holmes at the Eiffel Tower?
Oh, sure.
Kevin crystallized that perfectly, I thought.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
You gotta wonder if there were no cameras, if he would have had to go to the top of the Eiffel of the tower to get
That was a moment with Kevin.
All right,
he had Eiffel and tower, but he just couldn't put them next to each other, and that's
Access Hollywood is still calling to try to get him. All right, one more, is there anyone who comes to mind quicker when you hear Anaheim Ducks than our man Kevin? I mean, seriously.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Is that so? He doesn't. Are you a regular Duck fan? You watch all the time him?
That was a moment with Kevin.
I am retarded.
Hey, everybody. What's up with Kevin? I've been a big fan, long time him.
Kevin. Could not remember the words to this song.
Who doesn't love a good pop and lock?
Who doesn't love a good pope and lock? Huh? Come on.
Who's with me?
Did you guys see the picture of the Pope who was sitting there in his little throne watching boys from Poland breakdance?
I saw the video, and it was the most surreal thing I've ever seen in my life. It looked like it had to be Photoshopped. You couldn't believe it was real.
There was a video, too, that was out, and it was basically these kids from Poland showed up, and they brought in their little boombox. Like, and they were spinning on their heads and stuff, and they were doing breakdancing for the Pope. And then as soon as one kid would finish his little routine or something, the Pope would...
Really? So he's...
By himself. He's just sitting there by himself. So basically, it was just the kid doing the breakdancing and the Pope. That was it.
That's funny.
I get the impression that the Pope is pretty far gone at this point, and his aides are just having fun by pushing him into embarrassing situations where he doesn't know what he's doing anymore, but they think it would be funny. Oh, it'd be great. Let's put the Pope into the girls' bathroom. You know, that sort of thing.
And then later, when he was with his aides, he was saying, "What was that?"
I'm sure.
He has no clue. Why is the kid? Why is he spinning on his head?
That's just sad.
Oh, that's awesome. That was the best video I've ever seen.
That's elder abuse.
Oh, but we do have the Pope on the phone. We thought we would talk to him today and kind of find out what was going on. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin and Dean.
Your Holiness, it sounds like you've got music going on behind you. Where are you right now?
I'm in the papal dancing room.
There's a papal dancing room?
There is now, bitches.
Is this more of the story we were talking about before we brought you on, sir? More of the break dancing?
Yes, I love it.
All right, now tell us what happened and how it started. Why were the Polish kids breakdancing for you?
Did you hear about the Polish breakdancers?
No, I didn't.
They're now all in body casts.
But why?
Did you hear about the Polish breakdancer who tried to blow up a bus?
No.
He burnt his lips on the tailpipe.
He's got jokes. But,
he does.
But, Your Holiness, why breakdancing in the year 2004 when most of us forgot about it 20 years ago?
One of the cardinals for Christmas got me the DVD of Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Oh, is there a better movie than that?
Oh, my niggas, let me tell you. That movie kicks ass.
So you invited a bunch of young kids to come over and show you how breakdancing was done in person so you could see it.
I said, come on, little Polish kids, show me the popping and the locking.
So they were doing the popping and the locking, they were spinning on their heads, and you were clapping. You looked like you really were enjoying that.
Those kids are mad talented, my niggas.
Well, was it a competition? Was there a prize? Did you pick a best one, or did you just enjoy them all one right after another?
It was a competition. Each had to dance for me, and only one could win.
Okay. Okay.
And to the others, I said, you suckers got served.
You actually said those words to the contestants,
you
huh?
You suckers got served.
Now, the Pope is way hipper than I ever imagined. How about that? Now, tell me about the music that you're playing in the room that you now have set up for dancing.
Yeah, I'm just about to go and do my set.
You're going to... I'm sorry, you're going to dance?
Of course I am.
You seem
I
like you...
I am the Pope.
You might be a little old and...
Excuse me, hold on a second. I have to do my set.
Okay. Wow, they're going crazy. Listen to that. That's impressive. I can't picture the Pope who can barely walk being able to break dance.
Take it down, man. Put it down now. Oh, yeah.
Oh, look at that. That's fantastic.
Oh, con shizu, my nizzles.
Well done, Your Holiness. Thank you for that.
Oh, I bust a groove.
Yes, you do.
And a move.
Yes, you bust both.
Say, yeah.
I'm loving it.
All right, Your Holiness, thanks for sharing that with us today.
Oh, these blacks know how to have a good time.
They sure do.
We are here to discover great new comedic talent.
But in the meantime, while we're waiting to meet some of that, we've got Dodo. Very exciting. I think, Ralph, you may have been out one day last week when our friend Dodo came in. Dodo, good morning. Welcome to the Cabin of Bean Show. Yeah, how are you?
What's up, Bean? How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine. Thank you, Dodo.
Full energy today. It's good. Yes, yeah, yes. Because at least I woke up early.
Yes, exactly.
And the traffic's not too bad.
Very good.
Good.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that, Dodo. So as you know, for a number of years, Dodo has been telling us that he wants to be part of the entertainment industry.
Yeah,
he'd like a career in showbiz. Right.
Yeah.
And so we kind of pinned him down on it last week. We said, Dodo, that's kind of broad. It's kind of going to be difficult for you to take that next step if you don't have a more clear-cut career path. Where specifically would you like to see yourself? And Dodo said to us, much to my surprise, by the way, that he'd like to be on stage at a comedy club. He thinks that's his foot in the door for entertainment because he can make people laugh.
So we came up with the open mic night.
Yeah.
When anybody can go down to a club and step up on stage and try out their material.
Great idea.
Right?
That's how you hone your craft.
So, Dodo, this is going to be your big entrance into show business. This is going to be the way your first step happens.
I haven't done it for a long time, Kevin.
And a lot of years from now, people are going to look... You used to do it?
No, me. I haven't. Oh, like I haven't done it for a long time.
A long time.
You mean you've never done it?
But I can get.
Okay,
can
good.
Get back to it.
A lot of years from now, people are going to be asking you how you got started as a comedian, okay. And you're going to say, "My friends Kevin and Bean pushed me into open night."
Yeah, my friend and Kevin Bean pushed my butt to open night.
Exactly.
Yes, we pushed your butt to open night.
Yeah,
exactly.
Ralph.
Now, Ralph, you're our showbiz expert on the show. Isn't it true that there's not a comedian in town, and I don't care if it's Jerry Seinfeld or Jay Leno or Jim Carrey or whoever you want to name, that didn't get their start with open mic night? I mean, that's it, right? That's how you do it.
Absolutely. There's no other way. You have to go and stand in line, and they give you a number, and you get up there, and you get a chance to show at least, 3 to 5 minutes of your stuff, and if you're good, they invite you back to another night, and that's how it all begins for all these guys.
Now, what kind of course, when you're preparing an act, Dodo, you have to start from the ground floor. What kind of comedian are you? Are you an observational comedian? Do you tell stories? What do you see as your niche?
Like what I see is my niche. I tell story and I make stuff up, Bean.
That wasn't a joke.
Oh,
yet.
Sorry.
We haven't gotten to the No. I kind of make it up in my own mind.
Okay.
So you're gonna you're gonna have original material. That's good.
Yeah.
But what are you gonna base your material on, Dodo?
Is it gonna be like the headlines?
No.
Current events. Your own personal life.
I'll base my material today. I will be on something like current events, but I kind of make it up to my own words.
Okay.
Good. Good. Okay. Observational humor.
Yeah.
I see that you have a piece of paper there. Did you bring in something on a topic?
Kim Jong-il.
Kim Jong-il. Okay, great.
North Korean president.
Kim Jong-il. Something
else. Prime minister.
I don't know if you know this or not, but you're Asian. And when you get up on stage, people are going to say, oh, here's an Asian guy. And you start doing talking about Asian dictators and stuff. There's a tie in there already. Good. It's a theme.
But I have more to talk to. This is just to get
of course. Of course.
Sure, of course. You're not only going to do jokes about Asians in the news, right?
No. I'll do jokes about anything, Bean. Mr. Cigar, Steph of the Salesman.
Who?
Death of the Salesman.
Oh, Death of the Salesman.
Like we did a couple years ago. Remember, Ralph?
I do.
Steph of the Salesman.
Okay. Yeah, remember, we did a scene from Death of the Salesman. We had him do a little acting
right
before.
I do remember that.
I thought he said Stephen the Salesman. I didn't know who Stephen was.
Now, of course, the great playwright Arthur Miller, who wrote that play, just recently passed away. Would you incorporate him into your act, Toto? You got some hilarious Arthur Miller material?
I would incorporate him. The only way he would need to make it to succeed is eat more German chocolate cake.
That's right.
Right.
And that's
now we need the rim shot. That's where the rim shot goes.
The world doesn't own enough damn thing.
Okay. Now, Doto, we'd like you to act like this is your big shot and get up on stage and try to deliver your Kim Jong-il material, and then we'll kind of coach you and give you some ideas of how it's going.
Stand up or sit down.
Whatever you like.
Whatever's more comfortable for you.
Stand up if you like, and I'll introduce you.
Try to talk into the mic.
Yeah, you got to talk into the mic.
Ladies and gentlemen, our next performer, Doto. Come on up, Do.
Woo! Okay, my name's Doto, and Kim Jong-il is the Prime Minister of South Korea, and he loves German chocolate cake because it makes his breath smells good and also enhances his chance with the ladies, especially 5'8", 5'9" Korean girls. The sugar increases brain, so he's all ep up, so he can blow up the whole entire world with nuclear bombs.
Okay. I'm not saying it's not good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's not already very, very good. But are there some ways we could improve maybe the humor quotient in your material?
Yeah.
Well, we're just getting started. Let's hear the rest of some of the material before we start digging in.
Okay.
Right?
Finish out the material.
Okay. Once he was captured in South Korea, he went to the government took him to a mental health hospital, and he was barking and screaming, and then for lobster and for steak.
All right, keep going.
And then they found out that he has an FBI, and then he needs to go to therapy, and then during prison time, he was imitate Ross Perot. The reason why.
See, sometimes you have to wait to find the
That's
good
right.
material.
That's right.
Slow build.
Can I do it now?
Yeah, sure.
Do Ross. Ross Perot. Like he was imitating Ross Perot.
Okay, all right.
The reason why I'm up here tonight is I want to give all the Americans a tax break so that we will provide less government.
But you're not running for president.
He's doing Ross Perot. He's doing
Ross Perot.
So Kim Jong, he's doing Ross Perot. Like imitating.
You do impressions too.
Yes. I apologize.
Like, I want to introduce less. Like, I want to provide like less government, more jobs, and I want less bureaucracy.
Now, that's uncanny.
That's as if Ross Perot's in the room with us.
It is, but do you have any concerns that maybe the Ross Perot material isn't maybe as fresh as it might have been in 1992 when he ran?
Yeah, maybe that's just a little outdated. Maybe.
Yeah, Kevin.
Yeah.
I mean,
we might need to punch it up a little bit.
Don't be discouraged. I mean, you got a terrific start with the Kim Jong-il because it's very timely, very much in the headlines. But I'm a little worried when you veer off into the politics of the early 90s.
If you don't mind, let's start with the first joke, which is Kim Jong-il likes German chocolate cake.
He likes German chocolate cake. The reason why he likes German chocolate cake is it boosts up his energy to blow up the whole entire world.
Okay. That's not a joke.
Okay, I'm sorry. No, sorry. German chocolate boosts up his energy, so it will make him gain weight, so he'll be more hyperactive.
But I'm saying there's no punchline, there's nothing funny to laugh at there.
It could be true, it could be an observation that you're making about Kim Jong-il, but in comedy, though, there needs to be some sort of a laugh payoff at the end of that.
Yeah, some kind of laugh. Is anything where it makes you laugh?
See, but you hit on the fact that Kim Jong-il is fat, so you could take off on that, because fat jokes are very popular.
Right.
So you could say, he's so fat,
How fat is he?
No, he's 580 pounds.
Well, see, that's not really a joke either, because that's just a number.
It's a number, but it's not a punchline.
Let's try it again. Kim Jong-il is so fat.
How fat is he?
He's so fat.
You're just restating what we said initially.
Give him an example of a punchline.
See,
that's what we need.
Kim Jong-il is so fat that when he sits around the house, he really sits around the house.
He really sits around 24/7.
No. That makes him sound inactive, but it doesn't really demonstrate how fat he is.
The punchline is that when he sits around the house, meaning that he's just lounging around the house, he really sits around
the house.
He's so
big, he sits around the entire house.
He sits around in one of his lovely mansion.
Yeah. Okay. It doesn't really matter whether it's a house or a mansion. I think you're missing the point.
Not a punchline either.
Wait, is this a condo or a house on the street, Ralph? I'm not sure.
I don't think it's that important, really.
Let me get a phone call real quick. Arvin in Glendale. Good morning.
Hey, you guys need to have a head-to-head stand-up against Dotto and their Minion Comedians.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Wow, that would be powerful.
That would be a comedy night
to
behold.
That's really too much, too many laughs per minute.
I mean, it'd be like Star Search. We could have them go, and then you have to vote, and whoever wins, you know?
All right, so, Doe, we need some kind of punchline with some kind of laughter.
You've seen comedy, right? You see the stand-up comedians on television right?
Yeah.
And do you see what's different maybe about their act from yours is the laughs?
They're a little bit more humor, I mean.
Yeah, a little bit more humor. Well, exactly. That's all we're saying.
It's not just that there's a little bit more humor. It's just that there's some humor.
The premise with the joke is you have to set it up fairly straight, which is what you're doing. This is good with Kim Jong-il.
Okay.
And then you say, boy, this guy's really crazy, something we all kind of accept as a known fact. And then you have to come up with some of the kind of clever or surprising thing you say after that, and that's where the joke comes in. So if I see you, Kim Jong-il, that guy is crazy. He's so crazy.
He's so crazy that... His IQ is 190.
See, that doesn't make him crazy, though. That makes him smart.
I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. I think we can work our way through this.
Yeah, I mean, we're close.
Dotto, you're brand new at this. No, but you don't come out of the gate with material. I mean, this is the learning process. This is why we're trying to help you for your open mic night. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. We really want you to do well.
Edgar,
we're trying
Somar.
To help you here.
No.
Good morning, Edgar.
Hey, good morning, guys. Lisa?
Hi, Edgar.
What do you think?
Matt, oh my God, Dotto is so funny. I'm right here laughing.
There you go.
I know you guys are helping him out, but...
that's what we're talking about.
You got your first guy.
All right, good. Now this is working, see?
Now we're cooking.
Exactly. Yes. Now we're cooking.
Well, maybe we reiterate some of these tips for Dotto as we show him the door this morning, and maybe he works on the material using the suggestions we've made. We had him back in maybe another time and see how the material is improved before we debut it in front of a live audience.
I think that's a good idea. And it really is very difficult to write jokes. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. It's really tough to write jokes. So,
especially on the spot like this. I mean, it's going to take some time for you to sit down and think about the things we've talked about, but I think you're definitely on the right track.
I think we have a great foundation.
You know, you could say Kim Jong-il, he's really dangerous. He's so dangerous that if I was president, I would...
If I was president, I would do what he says.
See? There you go.
You mix our breakfast with corn. That's coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, so make sure and listen for that.
First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Monday morning. Hey, Ralph.
I got an iPod.
What?
I got an iPhone.
How is it, lighting? Do you like it?
It's great. I got an iPhone.
Do you have the service necessary to make phone calls or to use it at all?
No, but I have an iPhone.
Wow.
Yeah, Lightning's got the new iPhone.
I envy you, Lightning.
Along with Bean. Bean's got a new iPhone.
But you know Bean's already used it up to death. He's already gone through one battery, already using it.
Yeah, he probably used it to send us all a picture of the world's greatest chainsaw, the world's largest chainsaw.
Now, you listeners out there may think that Ralph's just joshing and just kidding around.
Kevin and Bean are on vacation this week, as they were last week. And Bean, when he goes on vacation, goes to the most pointless... most horrific tourist traps in America. And he sent us all a photo this weekend of him visiting the world's largest chainsaw somewhere in New Mexico or something. And then he said, you're welcome.
This is not a joke.
It's not a joke.
He's already given us the pictures from the Jack Lord statue, the biggest walnut in the world.
It's a never-ending chore working for Kevin and Bean, I'll tell you. One guy wanted an iPhone so bad, he drove into an airport at Glasgow to get it, I heard. He just couldn't take it anymore. He just went nuts.
I don't know if that anything to do with the iPhone.
A little terrorism over the weekend. You think terrorism is making us more paranoid?
Yeah.
I think I'm getting more paranoid in little tiny ways in my own personal life because of the climate of fear we live in.
Yeah, totally.
I realize that every morning on the way here to the station, I go to 7-Eleven to get myself the Uber coffee, the giant jumbo cup of coffee, and a pack of smokes. It's my ritual. When I go now to 7-Eleven and I go to the bins there where they keep the styrofoam cups, you pull them out like a sleeve of cups there.
Right.
I always pull off the first cup and then I take the second one, the one that's underneath that cup, and I put the first cup back.
Are you worried there's some type of powdered anthrax or something?
I have no idea what I'm worried about, but I caught myself doing it today. I said, well, I always do that. I take the cup underneath the top cup. thinking somehow subconsciously it's more hygienic. That cup's a little cleaner, a little safer than the cup that's on the outside of the stack of that where that sleeve where it comes up.
I find myself scoping out every dude in the place wherever I go. If I'm, you know, screw an airport, that's given.
But that's reasonable, though. My behavior, I'm saying, is irrational. I'm getting irrationally paranoid. If I go to the ATM now and I have to make a deposit in the ATM and I put my checks inside an ATM envelope, I will pull an ATM envelope from, like, deep, deep in the stack of envelopes. I won't take the top envelope and lick it because I'm thinking that's probably the gross one, the one on top.
Ralph, here's the deal. Here's the question.
I'm losing my mind.
Have you always been like that?
No.
Or is this something that's developed since
that's
the recent?
I'm saying. I've been a slob. I've never cared about Germans or anything my whole life. All of a sudden, I'm starting to get hinky about it.
Wait, as soon as you said that in the
Producer
other room.
Lightning's over here. Hey, Producer Lightning. Sorry.
As soon as you said that in the other room, all of a sudden, oh, I do that. Lids. How about the straw when you're in, like, Carl's and you hit the first straw and you push the buttons?
That's a reject straw.
The first
straw.
One goes in the trash.
That's
second
a spacer.
One, that one I can use. Yeah,
I want the one that's clean and safe deep inside that pile of straws. Yeah, I'm all wigged out about that. I don't know what it is. But it's just a recent occurrence. I wonder if somehow, subconsciously, terrorism is starting to affect me, making me more cautious
Maybe.
In my
well,
everyday life.
All I know is that you two are starting to affect me because now I'm going to start doing it, you bastards.
Now you're all wigged up. All right, let's take a look at the showbiz news, shall we? Britney Spears reportedly served her mom, Lynn Spears, a restraining order to keep her away from her kids. That's kind of sad. There is photos and video of Britney handing her mom a bunch of papers on the set of her sister's TV show. You know, Jamie Lynn Spears has that Zoe 101. And you see Lynn reading it, and then there's a words exchange, and Britney kind of bolts. So sources are saying that's what the papers are. This is a restraining order for grandma to stay away from the grandkids, which is a little sad. Reportedly, Lynn and Kevin Federline conspired to take Britney's kids away from her if she didn't go into rehab at the time of her insanity, and this is her response to that. Her emotional response is to try to punish them for their behavior as well.
I think out of all the people that we shouldn't pay attention to, that we're all forced to because they're on the cover of every magazine, blah, 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 I think Britney Spears disgusts me the most.
Really?
Yeah.
Out of everyone?
Yeah.
Why so?
Because I think she's aware of her behavior, and I think she's the one who's, like,
it's more deliberate,
giving the F you to everybody, saying, I can do what I want, type of. Whereas some of the other ones are just ignorant and dumb and aren't even aware of some of the things going on.
So you think Britney's more of a spoiled child, whereas the other ones are more just out of control.
I think she's grown into actually purposely having this behavior and just telling the world that she can do what she wants. Whereas Lohan was really young and is just talented and confused, and then Paris is just dumb and doesn't have any idea that what she's doing any part of the day.
Right. Yeah, I don't see, I actually see your point. I don't see Paris as being out of control as the rest of them. She's, like you said, I think she's just an idiot.
Yeah.
And so crap just happens to stupid people.
And I see Lohan as a super talented, really serious drug addict.
Yeah,
if she cleaned up, would probably be an okay human being.
Yeah, and she probably will. I'm sure she will. By the way, Lindsay celebrates her 21st birthday today. That's one of the reasons we're here. She's listening there at Promises or Wonderland or Steve's Rehab or wherever she went.
Steve's.
We wish her the best. That's a low rent one, Steve's.
I'm going to say right now, Lindsay, if you're listening, I'll give you my six-year chip. I give it to you and hopes that you can use it as inspiration.
You're 6 years clean and sober?
It will be. So coming up, yeah.
Wow. Good for you. That's hard to do. I know we make a lot of jokes here, but that's to your credit.
Well, thank you.
Let's go out and get a beer afterwards. So
no problem.
Chris Angel's a big douchebag. I don't know if you watch that Mind Freak show over there on A&E, but he gets on my last nerve, this guy. He's the punk rock magician. That's how he kind of, like, styles himself.
He's a homo.
He looks like Brandon Lee in The Crow, and he's sort of, ooh, I'm so mysterious. I'm a freak, man. I'm a mind freak. I'll freak your ass right out. That seems to be his attitude.
I like to wear my hair on my face sometimes to deal with the harsh reality of life.
He's an e-magician. That's what he is.
E-magician?
He's an e-magician.
Yes.
Yes. Well, surprise, surprise. We all found out last week that Chris Angel made a wife appear out of nothing. Actually, she appeared herself when she went to a courtroom demanding a divorce. His wife, Joanne Sarantakos, by the way, which is Chris's real name, Christopher Sarantakos, has been married to Chris Angel Mind Freak for 5 years now. They went out for a decade before that, so she's been around for a while. Now she and her lawyers are asserting that as soon as he became famous, he deserted his wife and hasn't given her a cent of the millions that he's been collecting. Meanwhile, he made about $7 million last year. He just signed a deal with a Las Vegas casino hotel for a $200 million deal.
Good Good Lord. Holy mackerel. 200 million?
And she says she wants some cashish for the whole thing. Can hardly blame her. Now, he's famously been dating Cameron Diaz and reportedly was dating Minnie Driver before this.
Well within 5 years.
Yeah. And well within the decade before that where they were seriously dating before they got married. So, hell hath no woman like a woman. Hell hath no fury, rather, like a woman scorned. And here she comes. She is demanding an untold amount of money, but I'm guessing it's an ass pull.
Better be over 100 million.
I bet it's a metric ass pull. It's large. Mm. It's a big amount.
Mm.
So we'll be following that story closely as she divides his savings in half.
We might need to
just
start
like
talking
he did that broad on the bench. We should, yeah. We should talk. We should talk to Chris Angel Mind Freak.
Tearing women in half.
Hey, Gene Simmons. Good to see you. I haven't seen you since Lisa May's been on vacation.
I don't really have anybody.
Nobody
to talk
in here to talk to, Gene.
Yeah, tearing women in half.
Go back in your closet.
Okay.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, let me get you the top 10 movies at the box office real quick.
What are they?
You're curious.
What are they?
Here they are. Ratatouille, number one at the box office. America loves rats. I've always said that. $47.2 million at number one. Live Free or Die Hard, the fourth in the Die Hard franchise. Number two at the box office. Evan Almighty was number three. 1408, the new Stephen King thriller starring John Cusack, number four. Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer came in at number five.
Wait, so it's Fantastic Four, but it's number five?
Isn't that ironic? It's like a 100 spoons when all you need is a knife.
Or a black fly in your Chardonnay.
Exactly. Knocked Up, number six. Ocean's 13, number seven. Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End, number eight. Sicko, the new documentary by Michael Moore, is number nine. And Evening, that chick flick with Glenn Close and Meryl Streep, number 10, the box office this weekend. Today's celebrity birthdays, as we mentioned already, Lindsay Lohan celebrates 21 years today. Ashley Tisdale from High School Musical, she's 22 years old today. Michelle Branch, singer and songwriter, turns 24. That's a little,
it's a
faint bell for Michelle Branch.
Yeah.
She's talented.
Yeah, she is. She is.
Dave Parsons of Bush turns 42 years old today. And Larry David, writer, director for Curb Your Enthusiasm, and one of the creators of Seinfeld, he's 60 years old today. New season of that show coming up on HBO. So make sure you check that out. It is 9:07 currently here on KROQ. We'll return you in just mere moments to the best of Kevin and Bean. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
A lot of people get Bean and I confused, and they don't know who's who, which is which. I'm the animal lover. Bean, animal killer.
So, guys, I got trouble in paradise.
What happened?
I got real problems here.
No, you don't. You got the greatest story ever.
Dude, you've always had problems. What's going on?
You guys have been making fun of me for a long time because remember when I told you a few months ago that I had written to Dear Abby and you got all up in me because you thought no one ever writes to Dear Abby?
Yeah, of course. They're all fake. They're made up.
And 85-year-old women.
Yeah, too, right. Too.
Well, I wrote to Dear Abby because I've been having a problem in the neighborhood, and I don't know how many of our listeners will relate to this, but I got a neighbor who...
None
is the answer to that, but go ahead.
Well, everybody's had a situation with noisy neighbors, right? That's not uncommon. Everybody's had someone, they're doing construction, or they play the music too loud, or they got motorcycles up and down the street or something
but
like that.
No one has your problem.
No, my specific problem is that my neighbor about a year and a half ago, I guess maybe, got a rooster. Now, they had chickens, and they, you know, a lot of people where I live, it's kind of rural, and they have, you know, have their chickens to lay eggs and, you know, that sort of thing. And they got a rooster. And I don't know how many people have ever lived next to a rooster, but you know how you hear, like in the movies, the rooster crows at sunbreak?
Yeah, sure.
You hear that sound, you go, well, that's kind of nice. It's kind of rural. It's kind of homey. That sounds good. Well,
sure.
What happens, unfortunately, with roosters is that goes on for hour after hour after hour.
I mean, they don't like just do it right at 6 a.m. and stop?
I wish they did.
There's no snooze button on a rooster?
Like, it's not just during the morning either. I mean, they'll, you know, they're quiet a little bit midday, and then they come back in the afternoon, and they crow for hours more. Now, what do you do if you're me in that situation? I live in an area that is rural. I mean, I've got farm animals. I've got cows and a donkey, and I've got pigs. I mean, one of the reasons people live in places like this is because they want to be able to have their barnyard, right? So they have every right in the world to have a rooster. But where does their right to have a rooster run up against my right to get a good night's sleep once in a while?
Of course. That would drive me nuts.
What do you do, Kevin, if you're me? What do you do in that situation?
I write Dear Abby.
I go out and I would never, ever, ever think of writing Dear Abby. I would go out in dark clothing and kill their pet.
Okay, but see, not.
You wouldn't.
That's not a rooster.
That's not an option.
If I'm not sleeping...
Oh yeah.
So I did more than just write Dear Abby. I also have been in contact with the neighbors over the course of a year and a half.
Of course, you contact them and say, "Is there anything you can do?"
yeah, I said, look, I understand you're allowed to have this rooster, but I got to tell you, I'm not able to get any sleep. And, of course, we have very hot summers up here with no air conditioning. If you have your windows open at all to try to catch a breeze or something like that, you're going to have trouble with the roosters. Obviously, doing this radio show in the morning, I can't have the windows or the doors open as long as you've got the rooster because the thing just makes too much noise all the time.
Right.
I understand if it's a pet, but is there anything you can do? Can you move it further away? Can we relocate the rooster to someone else's house and we'll buy you eggs for life? Please work with me here, right?
And that was the answer.
You weren't angry at that point, right? You were just
absolutely
asking.
How long you been asking and writing and contacting them though?
It's been about 6 months, probably. Oh. And every time I hear from them, every time I speak with them about them or leave them a note, and then they call me, they go, yeah, we understand your concerns. We're taking it seriously. We're going to work on it. We're going to come up with some sort of plan. Thank you for contacting. Sorry to bother you. So they seem really nice about it, okay?
Right.
It just was driving me crazy to the point. I mean, this rooster for like 20 hours straight was, you know. Okay.
You're going to come around to my way of thinking.
Heard that.
Bean's starting to write notes on rocks and throw him through the window at this point.
So I wrote another note that was just cranked up just a little bit more.
Just a notch.
Just a notch. And it basically said, look, we've had this conversation for many, many months now. Please just let me know if you're not going to do anything about the rooster, and I won't continue to get my hopes up, and I promise I'll never say anything about it again, but just tell me that you're happy where the rooster is and that basically F off, okay? Basically just let me know so that I don't worry about it.
Okay.
So that's the note I left. So I get a call from my wife, and she says, you're not going to believe this, but the rooster's gone. Oh, my God, that's the best news ever. She said, yeah, it's so fantastic. I guess you wrote this new note. And I said, yeah, I wrote this new note. She says they must have taken the rooster over to the animal park or wherever it is they go, you know, where they send the rooster or something like that. Just like you've been asking, it's fantastic. So my wife got this this basket of, like, bread and cookies and took it over and left it on their porch. And thank you so much for being so considering. We hope the rooster has a fantastic home and a happy life. And it's so sweet. So we felt really good about it. And then she ran into my next-door neighbor at the hardware store later that same day.
Right.
And she said, oh, did you get the basket? The neighbor said, yeah, it was so thoughtful. Oh, we're just so happy that it worked out. We felt really bad. We love animals so much. We really felt bad to even say anything. But thank you so much for the help. You know, I hope the rooster's going to be very, very happy. And she said, the neighbor says, what do you mean? And she says, well, I mean, I hope the place that you took the rooster, that rooster's going to have a happy life, maybe a place where it's not going to be bothering anybody, but is going to enjoy.
Right.
She's like, no, you don't understand. You asked us to take care of the rooster. Donna says, yeah, we wanted you to take care of it because of the... She said, no, we took care of the rooster. And then she makes the little Indian chop, the little tomahawk chop like this, you know, and the neighbor's got her daughter with her, like a 13-year-old or something like that. She's like, we'll talk about it later, but it's all good. We took care of the rooster.
They cut off the rooster's head?
Yes.
Nice!
They went out and they chopped the rooster's head off, and my wife... Now, I'm really upset about this. We laugh and stuff, but
that's
best
case scenario.
In a million years, my intent was not for them their pet.
It's quiet now.
That's part of the point, but that's not the whole point. I thought they'd take this rooster to a sanctuary somewhere or give it away to somebody who's got more land where the rooster could live and be a rooster.
Rooster Lake. Rooster Lake.
I didn't want Rooster Lake. Now, Donna did everything but burst out in tears in the hardware store when she heard this. And when she called me, when she called me after the meeting, she's like, you're not going to believe it. I can't. They killed the rooster. And I was like, oh, my God. I felt so bad. So now I'm the pet killer in the neighborhood.
You put a contract out on the rooster.
That's how I feel.
Awesome.
We take care of the rooster, Mr. Baxter. Don't worry about it.
So now every time I go outside or I have my door open, I hear the silence. It almost makes me cry. Like, I'd give anything to hear that little rooster again.
The silence of death.
That's exactly
the sweet, sweet silence of death.
Rooster killer. You're a rooster killer. How does that make you feel?
I couldn't feel any worse, frankly. I wish I'd never said a word.
For
Bean of all people.
To cause the death of a rooster is the best thing ever.
Did you talk to them and say, this is the biggest misunderstanding ever? Did you say that to them?
What, after I found out the rooster was dead?
Yeah.
I haven't spoken to them since. I only heard Donna talk to him at the hardware store.
Well, they're your next door neighbors, for God's sake.
You're not going to go say that to them.
What am I going to say? I can't go over there now and go, we didn't mean for you to kill the rooster.
I was just kidding.
Here's the thing, though. They're your next door neighbors. You don't have to wait to run into them at the store.
I don't know what to tell you, but I'm not going to go over there now.
I apologize. I didn't. If you thought that's what I wanted, you know, I'm really
sorry.
Well,
I will. I will have that conversation.
Your daughter's been awfully loud lately.
And the very definition of good times is spending your morning with corn. I think you'll be interested in this, Jonathan, because I know, like us, you're a big Radiohead fan. Yeah. We did a breakfast with Radiohead right here in this room a couple of years ago.
Really?
And it was just like today. Just there's something about the energy here in this Studio A of Capitol Records. It's just magic. It just feels great. It's a beautiful sounding place, too. Yeah.
How did you guys pick Creep to do on this this particular project?
It just felt like we were trying to think of covers we were going to do, and it seemed like that song just really spoke to what, you know, how I feel about, you know, that song gave me a lot of strength when I first heard it.
Mm-hmm.
It's about being different or about feeling inadequate or something. You know, it's a song that really spoke to me, and I wanted to do it in a way that was, the way you were able to do it was brilliant, but I wanted to do it as more small, fragile kind of, and get the emotion across more, or where I was coming from or what it meant to me.
Did you sit around at some point and brainstorm songs to do and throw out like 100 of them and whittle it down, or how did you do that? What are some of the ones that would surprise us that you were considering? Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Monkey's handing out passes to the after party or something. I don't know what's going on here.
Oh, yeah, we're gonna do Master of Puppets.
Oh.
Acoustic.
You want to try that this morning?
And we did Led Zeppelin's
Love.
Yeah, we did Whole Lot of Love and another one. What was the Immigrant Song?
Oh, wow. How about that?
Let's hear it.
Come on.
No, I can't do this. Too early.
Hey, it may be too early for this, but have you gotten any kind of feedback back from Radiohead about what they think you've
heard? No, I haven't heard a thing.
Okay.
Have you heard anything yet?
Not yet. All right, yeah. It's Breakfast with Corn at Capitol Records here on the world-famous Q-Rock. We promised you, the fans, get a chance to talk to them, the band. And by the way, I apologize you couldn't be closer. I mean, some of you were almost 20 feet away from the group here this morning, and I know that that's tough. You guys in the back, you can barely make them out. They're just tiny little specks on the stage, right? Producer Lightning, the man with no bass in his voice, is out in the crowd. Who's our first question?
I'm right here. What's your name? Where do you live? And what's your question?
Joe, I'm here to represent the Big Bad 909.
Yeah.
Ontario. And I just was going to ask you guys what kind of advice you can give to upcoming bands who are really trying to put themselves out there and, you know, get attention from labels and stuff like that so people can get a chance to...
That's the billion-dollar question right there, isn't it?
Billion-dollar question. I mean, you can do what we did. We just basically played, self-promoted. Yeah, we had a bus. That was one of the good ideas. We'd always charter a bus, and we'd charge people money to... The money included ticket into the show, and we had a couple kegs on the bus.
Nice.
So it was a ride to and from the show, from Huntington Beach to L.A. with the whiskey. We did it a lot of times, and brought a lot of people in. It's just basically playing, and getting out there.
I like that the first 30 seconds of your answer on advice on how to make it in show business, it involves kegs.
Absolutely.
I mean, that is so high near the top of the priority list.
What can I say?
You got to do what you got to do.
Now, I would imagine a guy like you, John, who you know, has a label and has the family values tour and everything like that, you just, like all the time, people have got to be trying to get demos to you to, hey, help me out, hook me up, right?
Well, you know, this Monkey's got the label now.
Oh, okay. Monkey's the guy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you got. That's the stickers. I'm sure you get bombarded all the time.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Is it really?
Yeah.
I mean, what do people do to get your attention? Obviously, the music is the most important thing. But
yeah, but recently, like, MySpace has been, like, a huge promotion for, like, bands and people promoting themselves.
Right, yeah. Hey, in a world where Tila Tequila has an album out, you know what I mean? Anyone can do it, right?
What kind of music do you get mostly? Is most of it bad?
Most of it's rock.
Rock, but I mean, is most of it bad?
A lot of it's really bad.
Yeah.
But I usually flip through it and try to find something good and make
something,
you know,
good, right?
Post a comment about it.
That's cool. Hey, the fact that they've got somebody in the business, a professional, actually listening to their stuff is miles ahead of where they'd be otherwise.
Yeah.
You know? So, all right, let's do one more question before we hear more music from Van Lightning. Who's next?
What's your name and what's your question?
My name's Ashley. I'm from Gardena. And I just want to know, is there anyone else you guys are planning on collaborating with or want to collaborate with?
No, not really, no.
You guys worked with Robert Smith on this particular album of The Cure.
Yeah. Well, that was... Yeah, what can I say about that? That was amazing thing. That, you know, The Cure I idolized growing up. You know, when you're in high school, you have those bands.
Right.
Or your bands that got you through high school, and The Cure was one of those for me, so...
Was it tough to get them to agree to come to New York and
no.
do that? No?
I called up Robert Smith. I was sweating bullets. I'm like, oh, God, I'm calling Robert Smith right now. And asked him if he'd like to do it, and he said, of course. we'll be there. I was like, oh, okay.
Blew your mind.
It blew my mind, man.
I saw the interview on MTV with him. He was talking about how they were busy, they were working on something else, and he was turning everything down. But when you called, he thought, that's something I'd love to do. So he took a break.
So strange and surreal, man.
I came over and did it.
He is the coolest guy, too, to hang out with.
He is. He's just really, really cool.
So down to earth and fun.
Yeah. And that band can drink.
Man, they party.
That right? I've never seen a band drink. Killed us.
What about us?
Prime.
Even you guys?
Wow. No, in our prime, we couldn't even mess with that band.
That's saying something.
Wow.
That's unbelievable.
That is good.
Wow. All right.
Dude, they're like 90 years old.
They are, I know. They're still putting it away.
So you think you're pretty much done with collaborations for the time being. In other words, you got it out of your system a little bit on the Unplugged record.
Yeah, someone blows his way, but right now we're cool.
Happy to be Korn.
Happy to be us.
Exactly. It's KRQ FM passing to Los Angeles. You're listening to our Breakfast with Korn. Let's hear another number. Boys, what do you think?
Cool, man. We're going to do a song called Got the Life.
I think I know it.
Breakfast with Korn on K-Rock.
On that, Chief Rest. Know what I'm saying? I think this is the first one we've done since Breakfast with Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah.
Which was so great. And if we don't get a chance to say this. Thank you guys for doing this morning. And finally, we can finally cross you off the list of bands that we've always wanted to do, kind of up close and personal in the breakfast thing.
It's tough to get bands to agree to singing first thing in the morning. It doesn't seem like that's your natural tendencies.
No.
It does kind of suck, right?
Yeah.
The Korn Unplugged album from the MTV special is in stores, and you ought to buy it. That's all I'm saying. You really owe it to us and to them to buy it. I was
talking to Fieldy a minute ago about his wedding video that's online. You can actually see. It's like she's the perfect white bride, and then he comes in on the choppers with all of his friends. It's awesome. It's
It was convicts and normal people. It was funny.
Why is that online, Fieldy? What's the story there?
This company that did the wedding video for us, I just did them a favor and, you know, gave them a little plug.
Okay.
It's a cool video. I want people to see it. It's hilarious, man.
That's not good. What most people are looking for at a wedding video. Is, oh, you got to check it out. It's really funny.
You don't want boring. Just, oh, God, I mean, no. Love.
Now, what is bride is beautiful, white dress, family, everybody all prim and proper, and then they come in on the bikes, and it's just awesome.
It's like poor Bam's wife, you know. You got to think of what you're marrying into, right?
Guys will be guys.
What you doing? All right, so we got to cut just a couple minutes left. Anything else we want to cover with Korn before we hear our final song?
New CD coming out July 17th.
Yes.
You're going to tour Family Values.
Yes.
Do you have any idea when Southern California you're going to be here? Do you know?
Don't know. I think the end of it, but not sure.
The end of the tour?
Okay.
Yeah.
Not sure.
Korn.com.
Korn.com. And just just prepare to be rocked by this
new
album.
That's K-O-R-N, by the way.
Be rocked by this new
album. Okay. K-O-R-N. Oh, that's why I couldn't find it.
Now, I know you're going to close with Freak on a Leash, which you do a wonderful job on the Unplugged album with, and it's one of your most beloved songs. We talked about how you got together with The Cure. I don't think we heard the story about how Miss Amy Lee ended up on that song with you.
Well, it started back when we first met her back out on the road. We were doing festivals together, and she came up to us. She was a scared little girl. Came up, she goes, I love your band. Your band was everything to me when I would go through high school and, you know, said all this stuff to us. And we were, like, really taken back, like, whoa, thanks a lot. And then we came back and we did a next tour on her next album came out. And we're, like, heard something. She was playing one of our songs on stage. It was Thoughtless. She did a cover of Thoughtless on her live album. So we're, like, you know what? It would be really cool. We wanted to do something that was different, of course, for the Unplugged. And her being a fan and her doing that stuff, we thought it would be really cool to have her come on and do a Korn song with us.
For folks who don't recognize the name, Amy is the lead singer of Evanescence, a band that you hear on K-Rock. And we had them at, was it just last year we had her?
I think so, yeah.
And I didn't know what to expect having not seen them live. Girl can sing.
Yeah, she can.
She
really
wails.
Really sing. She's a wailer.
And it's a really interesting arrangement. I mean, you guys had to really pick this song apart to make it work as a duet.
Yeah.
You know?
It really wasn't that much work.
except
the music part was, well, she just came in for, what, an hour?
Really?
Yeah, we just nailed it out.
And you got the, hey! You got that part going.
Yeah, I had that, and she was like soloing over the top. Yeah, you could do that
today. I could do the hey part? That's fantastic. MTV Unplugged, Korn Unplugged, in stores everywhere today or available for download. This is going to be the last song we hear from the band here this morning, but let's give it up for Korn, huh? It's a lot of fun.
Again, you can watch it at krock.com for the next 24 hours.
Yes, they will hook you up with AT&T Blue Room, and I'm going to say thanks again and hello to fans of Korn all the way around the world who are watching this on the internet right now.
Thank you.
It's very cool.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Freak on a Leash to take us out. Korn on K-Rock, everybody.
Something takes a part of me, something lost and never seen. Every time I start to believe, something's raped and taken from me, from me. Life's gotta always be messing with me.
You wanna see the light?
Can't they chill and let me be free?
So do I.
Can't I take away all this pain?
You wanna see the light?
I try to every night, all in vain, in vain. Sometimes I cannot take this place. Sometimes it's my life I can taste. Sometimes I cannot feel my face. You'll never see me fall from grace.
survive the bad days.
Breakfast with Porn.
Thank you, gentlemen.